It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are. We are off and running, up and running, away and going. We're something. And the something we are, you, me, we, us, is here. It is the 22nd day of February 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and HeadOn.live are where we live. And that's where you go if you'd like to be part of the online multimedia real-time Mary Wainey, Zany, Wacky, Cold Medicine extravaganza of the real-time variety, multimedia even, did I mention those? That is the Horn chat room during the 3 hours of the evening in which this program is live, namely from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yes, if you pick yourself out a screen name and a password, why, zowie, you'll immediately be greeted by the likes of Anatole and Hoghead and Ralphs and V.T. Blom and longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who being a spacing guild master has folded space to become man cave, as well as midweek utility pinch hit chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgia Stan. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Remember to get that one out of the way this time. And this program's live. It is Thursday. I said Thursday. It's Thursday, right? Yeah, oh, definitely. Definitely Thursday. Definitely Thursday. The 22nd of February. Again, said that before, too. But listen, we're going to have some of that this evening because I was half-crazed on cheap cough syrup yesterday, and I am half-crazed again. It's just that I've managed to sort of drag myself into the studio because being gone for 2 days, 2 days running is just too damn much. I mean, I'm sorry about yesterday. There's just no way. I got to thinking about it. You know, you get a bug and you always, where'd I get it? And I was thinking about recirculated airplane air and, you know, maybe making its way through the family or something like that. And then I realized I came home from New York and we had the program Tuesday. And then, bang, right there. I was so eager to do the program, I ran in here, ripped my, it was warm as toast, and I ripped my clothes off, and I did naked radio this past Tuesday, first program back from New York, and that's probably where I got it. You know, no one, you know, unless you're in the Southern Hemisphere, no one should be naked in the month of February. Unless you're, say, south of, like, Orlando, no one should ever be naked during the month of February. No. So there, that's it. I mean, don't worry. I'm not a plague vector or anything, and you can't catch it through the radio. You can't even catch it by sitting on your speaker. But I've still got it, and it'll probably be a while. Probably, yeah, I know. Asa says, yay, Limbaugh Radio, baby! My friends who knows what will come out of my mouth during the next 3 hours. I'll probably confuse the Bach Goldberg variations with the Brandenburg concertos again, because I did that. Of course, I do that all the time. Maybe if it wasn't that Brandenburg and Goldberg and Brandon Goldbug and it, but I did that. And it, you know, and that was just the front end of the crud. Now I'm fully into it. There will be many pauses during this program, too. I've gone from sneezing to coughing, and I feel like I've been kicked in the ribs by a mule. It hurts. It hurts a lot. Which, and this is Thorn in the Side Thursday, so we've got stuff to deal with from that, and we've also got stuff to deal with from prayer meeting Wednesday, which was its own, we've really got stuff to deal with from prayer meeting Wednesday. Thank you, Scott and Punky. Scott's listening on HeadOn.live, and Punky's listening on Head On Radio Network's White Rose Society stream, and he says 5x5 on both. Thank you. Thank you very much. Almost forgot. We're trying to... I'd like to have some fundraising free radio. I'd like for us to have that. And it should have started yesterday, but it wouldn't have started yesterday even if I was here, because we haven't finished. We left Silent R. Lamar's challenge on the table Tuesday, and we've got $295 left to raise. Now, thanks, Jim. Jim says, no wonder you're ill. I know. No wonder you're ill. Ooh, how's Muffy? I know, no wonder I'm ill, talking about me being naked. The rest of the audience is heading for the bucket. Well, that is a very nice line. Scott and Punky's new tag for you, Bob. Live and direct, rip to the... No, we're not going to say that anymore. I don't want to be part of the Me Too hashtag. But yes, live and direct, ripped to the radio, hosted by the Prince of Pause, Bob Kincaid. The Prince of Pause. I like that. Okay, some of you know of which I speak. Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana. Observing, Bob, I've been sick and living on NyQuil and antibiotics for about 4 weeks now. I've had enough cold medicine that I know how a hangover feels, and I don't drink. No, and see, since I tend toward the high blood pressure side of life, I can't take things like decongestants, and it's just as well, because I'm not a big speed fan. Remember me? The decaf guy, okay? Yeah, right. I'm drinking that diabetic Tussin, no sugar and no alcohol, with dextromethorphan and guaifenesin. I'm drinking that stuff through a straw. I got the swirly straw out for it. And I can't imagine that paint thinner tastes much worse. But it has calmed the cough some. And actually sleeping the night through is a big deal, and that's most of what I did yesterday is sleep. And of course the bizarre dreams that come with it. But we're having summer right now in February, and so consequently, in addition to the fact that there's a teacher walkout, schools are closed for flooding in West Virginia in several counties. Flooding. Schools, February. I expect a plague of frogs and locusts in March, and Rivers of Blood in April, followed in May by Frogs Raining from the Sky. Who knew that West Virginia was Egypt? Yeah, I know. Although we did, we saw one of those meaningless things on the internet the other day that said you could gauge by the shape that the outline of your toes take what your ethnic heritage was. Me, no surprise. I came out Celtic. Agnes Viking Warrior Princess, however, was surprised to find out that she's Egyptian. I was not surprised in the least. And I simply looked at her. I just brought home a bag of those wonderful Chilean sweet table grapes that are so yummy this time of year that we import all the way from Chile to put on a truck and drive across America to get to West Virginia. Pretty silly on a warming planet, isn't it? Yes, but I picked that bag of grapes up, plucked one off the bunch, and said, "Would the Pharaoh desire a grape?" Yep, no surprise to me. I muted the mic long enough to yell through, "You're my Pharaoh," and she said, "Thank you." Agnes has it too. Poor thing, and she has it, and she's taking care of me. She is an angel, the Viking warrior pharaoh princess. But anyway, we've got fundraising to do, and I'm sorry about that, but we do. Like I said, we left Silent R. Lamar's challenge on the table Tuesday. And of course, we also have Ralph's Trash Fitz Walker stand challenge to go. There's $30 extra in it for us if we can finish fundraising for the month of February. And yeah, we're at $295. $295 to go to finish the month and have fundraising free radio tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Okay. And so, you can get to the PayPal interface either at headon.live or headonradionetwork.com. There's always the U.S. Postal Service at the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801. Remember, checks and money order. Whew, money odors. How many times do I have to tell you not to touch, not to play with the dirty money? Now, money, checks and money orders only, please, made payable to the Horn, not Bob Kincaid, because I never see him, and that's the stuff that Boss Man Wayne deals with. And so, consequently, that's so $295 to go. If you're going to send something, send me an email, bobkincaid@gmail.com, so I can include it in the total. In the meantime, we've got thanks to send out to our subscribers for the 22nd day of February. We have thanks to send out to Jamie. As well as thanks to send out to Gail in Omaha and to Michael. Thank you, Michael. As well as to Kenda out in Missouri. Thank you, Kenda. And to Bill in Florida. Yesterday, had I been here, thanks would have gone out, but no, now they just go out. They go out today to David in Vermont and to Joan in Tallahassee. Thank you, Joan. Thank you, David. And thank you to all of our subscribers who knocked down about a quarter of the Horn's funding in any given month. Thank you, one and all. And so there we are. $295 to go. Let's raise it this evening. And hey, if people want to make, new subscriptions are wonderful. New subscribers are wonderful. And you just put the one, the zero, the dot, and the dot. I mean, that's for everybody but George Soros and George Clooney and wonderful folks like that who haven't found us yet. You're welcome in our little community, guys. Really. Oprah, we'd welcome you here. We're conversationalists. We'd love to talk to you, too. But that's how that works. Just put the, then click the little box that makes it happen every month. I'll get a notification, and you'll be a subscriber. Okay? It would be awesome. Wait, what's this? I'm just checking email as we go here. Oh, wow. Scott and Punky pointing out this would have been the late, great Don Pardo's 100th birthday. Oh, yes, absolutely. I understand what you're getting at, Steve from New York. I understand completely. A note coming from Steve, he says, when I saw Wayne the Peter on TV today, because I did too, when I saw Wayne the Peter on TV today, I kept trying to think of a scholar and guru who could express my feelings about him. Only one came to mind. Dr. Jeffrey Spicoli. Ah, yes, yes, the noted philosopher, Dr. Spicoli. I think Steve is referring to this Zen moment of Dr. Spicoli's. And I think of him often, too, whenever I see Wayne the Peter.
You dick!
Yep, that's it. That's the one. Still haven't sorted out how we refer to Dana Lush, though. And that's as good a starting place as any. It is. But before we go there. Yes, absolutely. Before we go there. Well, for today's edition of This Day in Horn History, underwritten by the peripatetic hillbilly geniuses at Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, have you tried wafer thin water chestnut, friends and neighbors? Wafer thin water chestnut for that floody time of year, that time when the waters rise at an abnormal level at an abnormal time. Wafer thin water chestnut from Horn Labs, Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, will have you feeling in tip-top shape for watching the seasons behave in decidedly unseasonable fashion. Yes, our hard-working peripatetic periodontic scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter work hard to gather only the finest, free-range, cruelty-free, vegan, cage-free, gluten-free, non-GMO water chestnut, proprietarily grow it, dry it, crush it, and encapsulate it for your nutritional health. Yes, wafer-thin water chestnut from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter has all the water chestnut goodness you could ever hope to have. You know, I don't care much for water chestnuts, but I tell you what, thanks to wafer-thin water chestnut, I can get a big loading dose of water chestnut goodness every day. Yes, and who doesn't need that? And remember, if you act now, because operators are not standing by, if you act now, well, by golly, if you order a three-month supply, a 90-day supply of wafer-thin water chestnut, well, goodness gracious, we're not going to send it to you. We're just going to take the money. But if we did, we would also send you a little bundle of credulity sticks that you could use to test your wafer-thin water chestnut and find out what we here at Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, already know. It's really simple. Yes. If you listen far away, you can hear the merry tinkling as of change pouring through a counting machine. It's us, Buster. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, order now. A three-month supply is only $103.17, plus postage and handling of $295, and we'll get them to you right away. Wafer-thin water chestnut, only from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, will have you feeling better than you would have if you had just gotten over some sort of god-awful bug that you got from doing, like, naked radio. Post no bills, use no hooks. This side up, FOB, COD, WAFERTHIN, wafer-thin water chestnut, only from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Yes, today's edition of This Day in Horn History, we're dialing the Wayback Machine 6 years into Kincaid's improbable history, all the way back to February 20th, 2012. It's, yes, a prayer meeting Wednesday edition of the program, and Bob, slightly frazzled by a recent earthquake in Beckley, cues up the Moran Monday music instead of the usual Minister of Music. It's a very promising prayer meeting Wednesday, packed with ironic and contradictory right-wing intrusion into the inner workings of one's body, both for sons of Adam and daughters of Eve. First up, Cross County, Arkansas Sheriff's Deputy has arrested Brother Pastor James Davis of Morning Star Baptist Church in Cotton Plant, Arkansas, on 4 counts of rape. Brother Pastor James Davis, a holy man moving amongst his flock, apparently saw fit to repeatedly rape a 13-year-old member of the congregation in the back seat of his pick-em-up truck in a wooded area just outside of Cotton Plant, Arkansas. As an added bonus, the 13-year-old child is now pregnant with Brother Pastor James Davis's rape baby. Thoroughly sickened by the story and in a shameless act of flaunting his old DJ skills, Bob goes into a very early musical interlude to a Rodney Atkins Take a Back Road. The lyrics at some point in the song read, "Maybe it's the feeling, or maybe it's the freedom. Maybe it's that shady spot where we park the truck when things get hot. All I gotta do is take some old back road to the shady spot where things get hot, girl. Way down, way down, way down some old back road." Over there to the Morning Star Baptist Church, that church will split. It'll split between those who are willing to believe a 13-year-old pregnant girl who says she was raped by the pastor and those who believe she got pregnant all by herself and might be giving birth to a new savior, Bob then observes. Meanwhile, against the backdrop of the rapist pastor story, the right-wing dominated legislature in the Old Dominion, Virginia, is sending a forced pre-abortion ultrasound bill to Christian fundamentalist Governor Bob McDonnell, who would later be indicted, whereby even rape victims who demand an abortion will be forced to undergo an ultrasound. Remember, this is the time when Bro Fro Mick Santorum is the repig-licking frontrunner in the 2012 primary, and Bob, always striving to connect the dots in his head, explains, maybe what that 13-year-old rape victim in Arkansas needs is for Bro Fro Mick Santorum to go to Arkansas and have a conversation with her, and explain how she's carrying a blessed child and how, if it's a blessed thing, even if she was done raped by a man of God in the back of a pickup truck, and a man of God wouldn't have raped her in the back of a pickup truck if and God didn't want her to be raped. Rick Santorum needs to go to Arkansas and explain to the tormented 13-year-old girl that she doesn't have the right to deal with that lump of rape tissue inside her body in any way except to give life to it, and nurture it and raise it and look at it every day and remember the night that she spent on her back unwillingly in the back of a preacher's pickup truck in Arkansas. What a memory! In an effort to contradict himself, while Bro Fromix is staunchly for the forced ultrasound bill, he comes out against any procedure that helps pregnant parents make any educated decisions about their pregnancy. In this case, is that that procedure being amniocentesis, because in performing this procedure, Bro Fromix Santorum sees humans playing the role of God. You know it. And finally, in an act of courage and in a rare case of sometimes the bear eats you, a gay service provider has refused service to Christian Fundy customers who insist she must be serviced by said gay service provider. Gay man and gay hairstylist Antonio Darden has dropped New Mexico Governor and Mitt Romney Veep shortlister Susana Martinez over her staunch opposition to gay marriage. Despite several phone calls from Governor Martinez's staff, a very gay Antonio Darden refuses to style Governor Martinez's hair for a third time. And I'm looking at here, and I can tell you that her hairstyle is the best thing she's got going for her. Being a pig licking, she's probably a lousy tipper anyway. The hairstylist ain't losing out on much, Bob observed. And in order to tie the entire prayer meeting Wednesday lesson together, Bob goes to break with, from the musical South Pacific, "I'm Gonna Wash That Man Right Out of My Hair." And that was a trip down memory lane 6 years ago to Horn Antiquity, all the way back to February 22nd, 2012, for This Day in Horn History. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And hey, thank you very, very kindly to Louie. Thank you, Louie, for getting us started. Remember, there's a $100 challenge on the table, courtesy of Chris in Germany. A $100 challenge on the table. That means the first $100 that come in get doubled by Chris, meaning $200, and that then leaves us with only $95 to go. So we've got a fighting chance, right? Yes. So thank you, Louie, for getting us started. $25, and that leaves $75 to go on the challenge, and then $95 to go for the rest of the night. So 95, it's 100. That's $170 to go if we can make the challenge. Remember, we left one laying on the table the other night. So that's where that stands. Meanwhile, I said, you know, how do we refer to Dana Lush, a.k.a. the Dragon Lady? And why would they be calling you the Dragon Lady? Never mind. A.k.a. Vampirella. Yeah. A note coming from Ron in Raleigh. Subject line, I'm sorry. Bob, I'm sorry. Mr. Soros' money is tied up funding the student marches protesting for gun control. Perhaps at another time. Hey, by the way, Ron points out, in addition to being the 100th birthday of Don Pardo, this is the 52nd anniversary of the assassination of Malcolm X. I did not know that. 52nd, huh? So that would be February 22nd, 1966. And then, of course, this year will be the 60th anniversary. No, the 50th anniversary. This year will be the 50th anniversary in April of the assassination of Dr. King. If a fella didn't know better, one would look back at the mid-1960s and think that there was a campaign going on. Mm-hmm. Indeed. So, whoosh. So, being as how it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, but we missed prayer meeting Wednesday. And look, okay, I just want to comment, because I did, I let the National Republican Rifle Association, the most powerful, wealthiest domestic terror organization in the United States, and the weirdos at CPAC, I let them steal. So it's hard to call it stealing, but yeah, they got a hunk of my precious finite life this morning. Didn't make me feel any better. Made Agnes feel downright furious. It's not good when the Viking warrior pharaoh princess is not happy. Not happy at all. But anyway, I let them steal some of my life. And I want to make sure that I'm not working working any sort of misogyny side of the street or anything. Because I guess we have to be careful about the Dana Lushes and the Leanne Tweedens of the world, in despising them. You know, we just make sure we don't have any gendered remarks. But I'll just say, you know, Jesus H. Christ, whatever that woman was wearing today looked a lot better when Adam Ant wore it 30 years ago. Because, I mean, no, she was all done up in this lacy little frock coat affair that made it look like she was on the way to the Constitutional Convention, because, of course, these weirdos think they are. And, you know, she's the official spokes creep of the NRA, the most powerful, wealthiest domestic terror organization in the United States. And she's got that job for a reason. Oh, yeah, she's a real hard case. She's a true believer. I mean, she's a fucking gun weirdo, okay? I mean, she's as weird about guns as Charlton Heston ever was. You better watch your ass, mister, or some hotshot pilot's gonna flame your ass and you won't have a gun to shoot back. Get your hands off my guns, you damn dirty ape. But at least, Charlton Heston could make a semi-credible claim to being able to act. Now, despite the fact that she showed up at CPAC today like she just got out of the road company of Hamilton, Dana Lush, apparently all she can do is stride back and forth on the stage and berate the audience, which she did. And, you know, told lies. Because we're not going to have any of this silence from the NRA like we did at Pulse or... No, they're not going to grab, because this time they're scared, and they're scared of a bunch of teenage high school students who have lit a match under their generation and have them on the march. The NRA can look into the eyes of the children, the survivors of Parkland, and see their own demise. One can almost imagine Dana Lush walking before some mirror there in that mirrored building at NRA headquarters in Fairfax, Virginia. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the craziest gun nut of them all? Oh, you, honey. You. Definitely you. Woo! And then the thing in the mirror just goes running screaming. But ordinarily commenting on somebody's... And especially if you're commenting on a woman's clothing, it can get a little dicey. But I'm sorry, this is one of those equality moments. Wayne the Peter, no way could he walk out on a stage looking like he's headed for some Constitutional Convention cosplay. and be taken seriously. And yet, this hateful, revolting woman does exactly that, and it's just fine. No problem. I mean, it really was. It was a cutaway frock coat that nobody wears. Oh, no. I'm going to chalk this one up to the cold medicine, but Agnes, the Viking warrior pharaoh princess, just said, I liked it. Well, okay, honey, I admit, I'd kind of like it on you. I'm translating through the window here. I didn't know you were that way, sweetie. She is. Agnes simply noted that all she needed was a ball gag and a whip, and it would have been perfect. You know, consenting adults, whatever floats your boat, no biggie, not making a value judgment. But in all seriousness, she gets to come on in costume, and everybody goes, oh. But she and Wayne the Peter tag-teamed it. But here's the weird thing. Dana Lush wasn't addressing the kind of crowd she had, say, at the CNN town hall on guns the previous evening. No. She was among friends. She was in the confines of CPAC, the loving arms of the weirdest of the weird of the Republican Party. And she was striding back and forth across the stage, waving her arms, and she did everything but holler, Haben gewurten sein, at the end of sentences. And she was saying things that in former years would have brought the weirdos at CPAC roaring to their feet. Only this time it didn't. This time the magic wasn't working. Every now and then you'd get some. Yeah, I mean it was the kind of golf claps that the golfer who's 35th in the tournament gets as he makes his way to the 18th green, you know, 92 strokes back on the leaderboard. I mean, okay, for the effort, we give you the little golf clap. But it's not for skill. And it's not for ability. And it's not for that 32-foot putt you almost sank and only left it short by 19 feet, which you then left short by 12, which you then left short by 5, and you then got it up to 6 inches and then lipped the cup. And no, that's what I mean when I say it was tepid applause. One got the sense that even the maggots in the audience may have finally found, dare I hope it, dare I say it, some semblance of shame in their participation in the vile blood sport to which they have helped subject this nation. Maybe. I said she's no Charlton Heston. But that's not the same as saying she doesn't want to be. Paul Guyot is a writer for the TV, or for the show's Geostorm. And he tweeted, as she was marching back and forth on the stage, doing her best, if her feet had come another inch off the floor, she would have been goose-stepping. Paul Guyot tweeted, Dana Lush came to me 10 years ago pitching a sitcom starring herself. A hot young mom who does a far-right radio show said her age and looks would make one side hate her and one love her so everyone would watch, was obsessed with the potential fame and money. I turned her down. Now we understand why she's hosting a one-hour program over on NRA blood-soaked TV. Yeah, okay. Brother Deacon Asa says she was going for the Morticia Adams look. I thought Morticia was more along the way of in the way of shrouds and stuff. Karu, never mind. But I get the idea. Okay, I wasn't the only one taking one for the team. So was Ron and Raleigh. I thought I'd lose my fudge. I do believe I've forgotten my fudge. Everything is a Bugs Bunny reference for me. 1A on NPR did their show from CPAC today. The lies issuing forth from that den of vipers was astounding. I nearly lost it when one of these blackguards said, sovereignty lies with the individual, and conservatives believe that people should be free to choose for themselves. They have no shame at all. You know, choose for themselves. Unless it has something to do with a woman's reproductive insides. Yeesh. But it was decidedly weird. And decidedly sickening. Steve in New York. God, I wish you'd been there, Steve. Dana Lush nickname, Madame CDF, Cold Dead Fingers. You can take our guns over your children's cold dead bodies. No, I don't think that's going to... Meanwhile, Steve, another member of the fraternity of Steve, this being Steve on the Gulf Coast, says, gun-free zone, open the fire zone. This is military doctrine. Motive, target acquired. Opportunity, weapon ready. Means, weapon armed. In the context of an open fire situation, the result follows. Shoot to kill. This is the logic informing actions whose outcomes do not necessarily go according to plan. Still, it is instructive to note that this simple prescription for a particular response to a hypothetical threat is precisely equivalent to the particular response demanded of the actual situation. In other words, fire at will. Hope for the best. That's an order. As they say. This method is most efficient, and in the nature of an art, conspicuously absent in a culture of insistent militarism that no longer requires its able-bodied citizenry to be at all acquainted with the realities of service in uniform. Volunteers, don't you know? Strange that an obsession with freedom, a paranoia of empire, should come to this. For lack of education, too. The teachers are to shoot in panic. Regards, Steve in China. And continues, Mr. NRA Wayne, what's his name, Undertaker or Preacher? Damned if I can decide. Oh, I know this much. Looking at him on my telescreen today, I then turned to Agnes, the not feeling quite her best Viking warrior pharaoh princess, and said, you know, if somebody was really good at Photoshop and they put a Charlie Chaplin mustache on that little bastard, I bet they'd be surprised what they got. Because the facial structures are strikingly similar. I understand now why he's never grown one. I'll bet, yes. Who knows? That may happen yet. Oh, and by the way, I want to commend to you all to run over to, and I reposted it, on my Facebook page as well. But run over to Republican Dirty Tricks, rdtdaily.com on Facebook, rdtdaily.com. That's the website run by the magnificent and incomparable Tara Devlin. Tara was very kind and helpful while I was in New York. And it was in her company that we went over to Weehawken because I'd always wanted to see the site of the Burr-Hamilton duel. But while we were there, and considering the fact that July 11th, 1804, was actually a day of gun violence in the United States, and one of the earliest and most famous examples thereof, Tara and I decided to sit down and shoot a video. And the results are there, are at rdtdaily.com. And we would really, really like to have the views. In order for rdtdaily.com to get big over at the YouTube, we need what are called viewing hours. And that means we need for people to see the video. And I think you'll like the video anyway. Because you might recall the 3 hours that... And I don't recall doing a lot of these, but there haven't been a lot of three-hour conversations. But Tara and I just got going, and we couldn't quit talking with each other. And so we decided... to talk about, and I came up with the idea, and Tara was like, yeah, that's awesome. The idea of the Wayne LaPierre NRA Natural Manure Tree of Liberty Award has become a reality. Tara, and with some help from me, over at RDT, with each one of these massacres, will, in the name of the NRA, because they're too chicken shit to do it themselves, will award the Natural Manure Award to whatever community it comes out of the hat in the NRA Death Lottery. And to that end, we made a video introducing it. So you can watch by going on Facebook over to rdtdaily.com, or those of you who follow me on Facebook, you can just go to my page. And by the way, if you really want to make sure that you're keeping up with stuff I'm putting on Facebook, you know, there's layers of how you friend. If you click and you put "see posts from Bob" first, my post will pop up in your feed. As fast as anybody else you have thus nominated. And so you can find my reposting of the video, or you can go directly to rdtdaily.com on Facebook. Why, that is not a prison suit, damn it. That's a nice white base layer. It was cold outside, and an orange sherbet. That is not Day-Glo orange. That's just orange sherbet colored T-shirt. Critics. And I had my brand new York City haircut going for me. I was a mite shaggy leaving here. And when so I went up the street and got me a haircut. And there I was in the chair, and she was fluffing the hair on the top of my head, and she said, "Well, that's interesting." And in that moment, like I said, everything's a Bugs Bunny reference for me. Standing behind me, I'm in the chair, she fluffs up, "That's interesting." And immediately I heard, "Well, my stars, if an interesting hillbilly can't have an interesting haircut, I don't know what this world's coming to. Bobby pins, please. Oh, that's never going to hold. You're going to need a permanent and." I was just glad she didn't put dynamite on top of my head and then run off to give an interesting lady an interesting manicure. Look, the fact that Bugs Bunny lives in my brain makes everything a little bit more enjoyable. "She was the daughter of Rosie O'Grady." I'll be singing that for a month. Get out of my head. Yes, answering a question from Steve in New York. Yes, we did get to Essa Bagel. We did. I had the everything bagel, and they were hot. They were just hot out of the oven. I saw him slice mine open, and the steam escaped. Ooh, it was good. With the 5 hot pepper cream cheese, Novolox, tomato, onion, and capers. Ooh, that was good. I get 6:51 p.m. and we're into the food porn. All right, Carol's in on it too. "I confess, I thought you stole my Jackson County prisoner uniform when I saw that video." Can a guy, you know, that's one thing I noticed about New York. It's like the freaking Massachusetts Bay Colony. Everybody in New York's running around wearing black. 11 million people, and they're all Johnny Cash or pilgrims. Not me, baby. Mm-mm, no. Walking through Times Square with some bright yellow Levi's and my bright blue puffy coat. Yep. I did that for a reason. If I got lost, I wanted to be able to people to see that I was lost. I'll remember that. You know, I love the color of orange sherbet. That's why I bought that shirt. Well, it was like $6 too, but never mind. I don't take those kinds of things into account, and I guess I need to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because orange means things. You know, thanks, orange is the new black. Right. But anyway, we share that video around. And watch it a lot. Watch it many times. Memorize it if need be. And help build traffic for the incomparable Tara Devlin over at rdtdaily.com, if you please. It would be greatly appreciated. Now, I mentioned Dana Lush. Dana, apparently, I don't know if she was smoking some of the really good skank dank, but you could tell the NRA's all paranoided up because, among other things, she said that when she went to the CNN town hall, she had to have armed guards so she could leave the building after it was over. You heard that town hall last night. They cheered the confiscation of firearms, and it was over 5,000 people. I have to have a security detail to get out. I wouldn't have been able to exit that if I did not have a private security detail. There were people rushing the stage and screaming, "Burn her!" Well, that was ironic. you know, burn the witch. They weren't trying to burn you, Dana. Put down the pipe. But it... today was... Well, I'm glad to know I'm not the only one. Steve points out, wearing black in New York. I wear red coats and other colors. I sit in the subway with a big smile on my face. Can't take the Ohio out of me. You, Buckeye, you. Oh, don't start with me, Asa. You could call it orange sherbet if it makes you feel better, Bob, a la Ross Geller's salmon-colored pullover, which everyone knew was pink. That's the problem. I like pink, too. I like pink a lot. It works well with me, because I'm pink. I blend in. Pink is camo for me. Meanwhile, Matt tells me, in San Francisco, the color of choice is gray. And I guess there's nowhere I'm going to fit in, because the color of choice here in Appalachia is camo. True, true. The things that get you guys going, I'll never understand. Ron in Raleigh says, hey, remember, as Blade the Vampire Killer said, always bet on black. Mm-hmm. But the NRA, America's wealthiest, most powerful domestic terror organization, launched a new campaign today. And Dana Lush, in her Thomas Jefferson suit, well, because of the Jefferson quote, the Tree of Liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure, as he said as he headed off to rape Sally Hemings some more. No, the NRA has figured out whose fault the Parkland shooting was. Manufacturer of an AR-15, perhaps? No, you silly communist. Okay. Maybe it's the bullet manufacturer's fault. No. Anarcho-syndicalist, that's not right. What if it's, I mean, who else could it be? Maybe it's the victim's fault for getting in the way of those bullets. No, even the NRA wouldn't be that low and crass. No, we know whose fault it is. Dana Lush and Wayne LaPeter both told us today. They've even invented a new term to go with it. It's the legacy media's fault. And part of the reason that part of the reason that the NRA was so forceful today is that they have this new trope that they're pushing. And in turn, part of the reason that Dana Lush has the job that she has is that she's utterly shameless. She actually said today that the media celebrate mass shootings, that the media celebrate massacres. And there's another one of those word moments. Why can't we use massacre anymore? They're mass shootings. That makes it sound like somebody got plugged at mass, like something out of the old mafia wars. Mm-hmm. No. Oddly enough, it's partly Obama's fault. Everything's partly Obama's fault, Steve. Barbecue Todd wanting to know, are you pink like Floyd? I am pinker than Floyd the Barber. No, it's the media's fault. The media encourages people to go out and commit massacres. I thought Hallie Jackson was going to go right through the screen this morning. She was so pissed off. But they're out there pushing it. And among others, Ron and Raleigh, if you haven't already seen this, you're going to have a fit. The NRA is a very, 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 very white organization. I mean, the whiteness of the NRA is challenged. The only organization that's whiter is the Klan. So naturally, they've got a new ad out, and it's the ad in which they blame the media for causing these massacres. But here's the thing. And they've got themselves a black guy to blame the media. No, really, I'm not kidding. Corleone Noir. Never heard of this dude before. But they've got him against a black screen, wearing a black T-shirt that says "Freedom" across it, as if he's some sort of modern-day Sojourner Truth, which he's not. He's just a flack and a hack for a bloodthirsty organization that can't exist without the sacrifice of our children and, you know, Russian money. But you might want to get the hockey puck, because this is pretty damn disgusting.
Way saying that people in the media wish for the deaths of innocent people. I don't believe that at all. But the truth of the matter is, if there's one organization in this country that has a vested interest in the perpetuation of mass tragedy, it is our mainstream media.
Now, first of all, never mind what this sick punk is saying. Did you hear the music in the background? The sort of the Halloween with the eek, 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 eek. Yeah, I'm not saying it's the media's fault. It's just that we're saying it's the media's fault.
It's becoming so disgusting that these kids running out of these schools see microphones in their faces before they see their parents. And what these kids don't realize is that they are now being forced to play a part in a multi-million dollar international production. Look at the way they react when they think there might be another shooting.
A multi-million dollar international production. International. You know what? In former times, and I suspect in the current one, in former times, international was dog whistle for Jewish. Again, I encourage anyone good at Photoshop to stick a Charlie Chaplin mustache on Wayne LaPeter and see what you get, and don't be surprised. It's not like I didn't warn you. He's back! International production. Production. Something planned. Something that was thought out in advance. You know, an international conspiracy? Who talked about an international conspiracy? Who talked about an international conspiracy and wanted every good citizen to have a rifle in the home? Who? Yeah. So you just gotta. There's all kinds of white-winged dog whistling out there, and sometimes they'll even find a black guy to do their work for them. This is one such fellow.
Like a bunch of vultures circling a dead carcass, salivating, waiting on the next town to feed on.
Wait a minute. Didn't some other guy refer to a certain group of people as vultures? Or was it just vermin?
If there's even a rumor of a report of a shot fired, the helicopters are circling overhead immediately with tense aerial shots of what they truly hope is a murder scene.
He just accused journalists. Interestingly enough, the only profession specifically cited in the Bill of Rights of hoping for school massacres. Okay? That's where they are. National Rifle Association's not mentioned in the Constitution. Wayne LaPeter, Charlton Heston, Dana Lush, Coleon Noir, really? Not mentioned in the Constitution. Journalists? Yes. So, the NRA supports ultra-modern weapons in the hands of people with 18th century mindsets. 19th. We had the Enlightenment in the 18th century. But they don't support it. They've got their helicopters in the air. Well, bub, 100 years ago, they went rushing to the scene on horseback or by buggy. Okay, 120, 130 years ago. Maybe they took trolleys. And they wrote their stuff on pads with pencils. Because that was the technology of the time. Just like getting a helicopter in the air is the technology of the time here. Maybe even you catch the bad guy running away because of that helicopter. This is disgusting. This is an extension of Lügenpresse. This is an encouragement for people to start taking pot shots at journalists. The NRA, which claims that they exist because of a constitutional right, doesn't like another segment of society that actually is protecting a constitutional right. And all of the constitutional rights of the citizenry by dint of being the fourth estate and reporting on the doings of government and non-governmental organizations like the NRA, et cetera, et cetera. Ron and Raleigh says, "Really? Noir? Are you kidding me? This self-hating Negro calls himself Mr. Black? I guess he knows where the money is, and he has no shame." Well, look, if you work for the NRA, the has no shame part, that's in the job description. I can't speak to the self-hating part, but I'm not qualified for that. But I can tell you he's disgusting. Well, ask and it shall be given unto you. Michael in Madison sends me a triptych of Wayne LaPeter, added the Charlie Chaplin mustache. Michael says, "I didn't even bother to Photoshop the hair, just the stash." And if you were then to take something like that and you were to work with video, you could morph him right into you-know-who, the guy who talked about international productions and international interests. Now, who is this Coleon Noir? You'd think that the NRA would be sharp enough not to give somebody the last name of a stock character from Prairie Home Companion, but then again, real name Collins Idahen, gun rights activist, lawyer, member of the National Rifle Association, host of the web series Noir. He's had 74 million views on his YouTube channel. He's been showing up since 2013. Grew up in Houston, Texas. Poli-Sci degree from University of Houston, law degree from Thurgood Marshall School of Law at Texas Southern University. Well, he certainly didn't get any benefit out of the name of that that august institution of higher learning. I just took it on the road and sold it to the highest bidder. Now, Wayne LaPeter today was all hooting and hollering about the elitists and the elites and how the elites don't really care about your churins. Wayne LaPeter makes some $937,000 a year as executive director or CEO or what the fuck ever of the National Russian Rifle Association. The National Ruble Association. Yeah. Thanks for that, Ron. And so he shows up on the screen here wearing his black Freedom T-shirt and his black snapback hat. You know, trying to work on his street cred when dude's a lawyer. Dude wouldn't show up that way in a courtroom. Go, hell no. He'd show up looking exactly like what he is. A lawyer. A suit-wearing lawyer. But let's go back to whose fault all this is.
Ooh, the mainstream media just put out the casting call for the next mass shooter.
But...
yeah. Because see, if the National Ruble Association, Rifle Association, if they could just intimidate the media into not covering these things, then they wouldn't be taking so much heat themselves, and then they could quietly go back to their business of funneling rubles from Russia into the Trump campaign. Oh, well. Coleon Noir. You're being tough on your family, Marty. Marty says, "I'm surprised they didn't get a cousin of mine to do that spot." Hey, that's tough. I tell you, there's so much. There's so much stuff to get after. And it's not, you know, it's not all NRA. I mean, things have gotten so bad in West Virginia that our teachers walked out today. And it's not because they didn't want to be killed in the coming floods. It's because they're being destroyed by trying to live on teacher salaries in the state of West Virginia, because we might take fracking seriously. We might take mountaintop removal seriously. We don't take the education of our children very seriously here. At least not the governor and his Republican legislature. Jobs, 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 says Jim Kunta Kinte Justice. Mm-hmm. Clarence with a note says, subject line, black conservative props. Bob, there's an ad running on YouTube featuring a black brother speaking for Prager University. Yeah, Dennis Prager. Anyway, they found a black college professor, at least that's how he identifies. The message is mind-boggling about the gun debate. Another sellout chasing those dollars. Meanwhile, Scott and Punky with a note. Maybe Coleon Noir thinks he's the new incarnation of King Mufasa of Lion King fame. He really needs to work on his James Earl Jones voice, though it might piss him off that that's also the voice that intones the world's most trusted news source. This is CNN. That's my bad James Earl Jones voice. Probably need to work on mine, too. And then there was Marco Rubio last night, who came to a CNN town hall replete with his spine of jello and his big bag of NRA cash. And when one of his young constituents pressed him on the fact, said, look, can you just tell us here tonight you'll never take another goddamn dime? Okay, she didn't say goddamn. She was well-behaved. I'm not. From the filthy National Rifle Association. He said, well, it's not the money it's the agenda that people agree with. Well, yeah, but you take the money and you promote the agenda there, Marco. I mean, you're not so good at this sophistry thing, are you, bub? Rick Scott, however, governor of Florida, being a chicken shit, didn't even show up, although he was, in fact, invited. Yeah. 18 past the hour. Again, we've got $25 going on Chris and Germany's challenge this evening. $75 to go. And that means, we got $75 to go on the challenge and then $95 after that to finish off fundraising for the evening. It would be great if we could do that. And hey, I'd like to not be talking about this at 5 minutes till nine if we could, please. I'm anxious to stop talking about fundraising for a few days in February, because it makes this program a whole lot more fun to do. More fun for you, too. Ron in Raleigh says, I'd like to see old Coleon open carry in a white neighborhood in Houston. I know. He got through law school, Ron. He's not stupid. He only stands up and talks about open carrying in rooms where people aren't allowed to open carry, just like CPAC today with Wayne LaPeter and his blathering. If I'd had my Wayne LaPeter bingo card ready to go this evening, I could have bingoed inside of the first minute. Saul Alinsky, they hate our freedoms, opportunists, legacy media, bing, 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 bingo! Steve from Georgistan pointing out, Marco looked like the incredible shrinking man. He kept looking smaller and smaller as the night progressed. Yeah, eventually I was hoping he'd be like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly. Help me! Whack! Oh, well. Matt in San Francisco says, under the subject line, if only. I keep wondering if all these school shootings were done by men of color instead of white guys, if the laws would be already changed. Certainly made a difference in California when the Black Panthers showed up armed. I think the legislation was passed within the same month. Yes. I think you're right. Of course, then again, the memes are out there running around, and they show all the massacre perpetrators over the last few years. And what did all of these have in common? They were all registered Democrats! It doesn't even have to be true, because these people will gobble it up whole. Just like the paranoid little fit that the maggots are having right now over the so-called Twitter lockout. Twitter cleaned out a bunch of bots. And unwilling to believe that, the little white wingers said, "You're censoring us." You know, they're sending out messages saying, "You're censoring us" on Twitter. And their messages of being censored are getting out. Atne ute ait pray if you one what I in may, right? Hey, let's go and check in with Todd down in South Carolina, Stan. Hey, Todd. Oh, Todd. Todd.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm out here. You know what I'm doing now? I'm grilling, man. It's like summertime out here.
Oh, you know how to hurt a guy with a flu.
You know, I was surprised that you were on the air tonight. I heard you last night. But, you know, listen, this flu is no joke.
Hey, look, I'm one of those uninsured people. I mean, believe me, I know.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why these community health centers are so important for a lot of people. And they do a lot of good work, you know. Did you bring back any rye bread from New York?
Couldn't fit it in the bag. I just tried to eat my fill while I was there. But I had awe-inspiring bagels and cream cheese and lox. It'll be a long time before I ever buy another bag of those hateful little things that pass for bagels in the grocery store here. Just no.
People who haven't had it, you know, real New York City bagels and lox, the real, that is a meal in itself. That shit is so fucking good. Oh my God.
And there are, you know, there's, you know, there's Katz's, and it's kind of a tourist trap, but it's still very good. There's Russ and Daughters, which I didn't get to, but oh my God, I walked in and it was amazing. And then there's Essa Bagel, which we did get to, and to have a bagel just fresh out, hotter than the interior of the sun, boom, done, yummy.
Yeah, you're making me, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, but there's the question. The question just got put in the chat room by Richard. Did you have any knishes, Bob? And no, I didn't. And there's one great knish bakery left down in the Lower East Side, and it's the Yonah Schimmel Knish Bakery. And I found it when I got home. And it's like, damn. So, but
when you got home,
yeah, I found it. I found it online when I got home by accident.
Oh, God!
Found out, and it's like, oh, really? And there's one company that's still making pickles on Essex Street.
You know what's funny about the good bakeries and the places that make really good bagels is that they open up very early in the morning, and there's always a line. And that's how you know where the good stuff is. And they close early because, you know, they've been in there since like 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, making the bread and whatnot. And when they're done. I'm like, sorry, we don't have any more. And people fight. I mean, well, yeah, cause sometimes they fight. You know,
it's not like Gangs of New York, but I watched Gangs of New York for the first time last night. Just trying to get a little atmosphere.
5 points. Yo, man. You know what? And it's funny. You know, all right, so I heard what you were saying about the email, little message I sent you. Because, see, what happens is that you don't know they're cops until they reach in their collar. And it's like the old-timey chain that would be on our house of our age with the rubber stopper in the drain, the little ball-link chain. So they'll have a chain around. It'll be like a heavy metal badge with leather behind it. And they pull it out and go, you're under arrest.
Yeah, for what?
Well, I'm just saying. That's what they do. I'm just saying.
I mean, that's right. I thought about it in terms of giving away cigarettes, but that's me.
But see, I was going to tell you, that's a rack, man. Let me tell you something. You can make a lot of money selling Lucy. Like, that's like the first hustle that people, when people come out of the penitentiary, you know, they hang out around a bar or a deli or a sandwich shop or something like that in the city, you know, because, I mean, you can't get in that much trouble. You can get a little bit of trouble, but cigarettes are so daggone expensive now. That's a nice little hustle for some people, if that's what you want to do. So usually the guy would be selling cigarettes and CDs and DVDs, stuff like that.
I didn't see anybody doing anything even. But then again, just like everywhere else, the Lower East Side's getting gentrified all to hell.
Well, exactly. And that's what I was going to say. Like, last time I was there was in 05, and I was following people for a longitudinal study, and I had subjects in on Grand Street, matter of fact, Lower East Side, you know, Chinatown, Grand Street, and up in the Bronx and Brooklyn. And I noticed, because, you know, I used to live in Dutchess County, you know, when I went to boarding school, and we'd go to New York every weekend. And that's when New York, in the 80s, New York was gritty. It was, you know, it was New York. But that war on crime thing, they locked everybody up. Like, when I went to the Bronx, man, it was like, I had to go to this one neighborhood right across from Yankee Stadium. And it's like a little precipice, because the highway runs in between, I think that's the FDR, maybe. But everybody's gone. It was like a ghost town. I was like, you know what? They had just locked everybody up, and they're going to, all of the wealthy people are moving to the city now. And I mean, you could see it. And it's a police state. It's a police state. New York, it's not like it used to be at all. And I know people told you that. They had to. Anybody in real New York, because I still got friends. I'm in contact with folks I went to school with.
No, I mean, I was never there when it wasn't, but, you know, Times Square is Disneyland.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I laughed my ass off. We were walking through Times Square, and Chris looked over and saw Olive Garden. And out of nowhere, she pipes up and says, "Oh, Olive Garden, we're saved." Muriel, we finally found a place that's safe enough to eat. I bet Trump even eats there.
That's kind of the whole conversation, making people feel comfortable, and that I guess that's what that's about. But that broken windows policy, man, it messed up a lot of lives. I'm telling you. It really did. I mean, it's decimated communities.
Well, I had a chance to. This isn't quite the same thing, not by a long shot, Todd. But I had a chance to ask someone with a reason to know.
Mm-hmm.
We were being a tourist. That means taking a tour. And it was in the Times Square area, and it was a literary pub crawl, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But that includes the theater district. And I was asking, you know, in the great old days of Broadway, I mean, when Brando was playing Stanley in Streetcar Named Desire, he and a lot of others lived nearby, you know, like over in Hell's Kitchen.
Right. For cheap.
And, maybe not particularly fancy, but nice enough. And who can do that? And okay, so I really was. I was taken with the area where we were staying, yeah, just because it's got all kinds of stuff to see and visit and do. And,
right.
You know, you can go anywhere on the subway. I like the Lower East Side because, you know, I'm an expert on New York. I mean, it's ever so much better than, you know, the Village or, you know, no bullshit.
Well,
I don't know.
It's compact, but Chinatown's there.
It was accessible and it wasn't, you know, concrete canyons like, you know, further up the island. But
no, you could walk up to the river if you really wanted to, you know, if you felt like walking, you know.
But those tenement buildings, where you would have six people living in 30 square feet, 75 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
1,100 square feet, one bedroom, goes for something on the order of $2,400 a month.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that a cardboard box over a subway grate it goes for like $900 a month.
And that's a steal if you can get it. That's where we are now. Look, I mean, even decrepit Philly is like that. Like, you know, we talked about this before. Any place you would want to live, maybe that's close to work or something like that. You know, because I know when I moved, man. That's the way it's getting. Because once again, this is part of the shrinking of the middle class. You know. But this gentrification and these housing values are out of control, because I don't know where they expect. Do you not understand that people live in Bucks County, they live in suburban Philadelphia, and they get on Amtrak and they commute to New York every day because they make that kind of money, and they would like to live closer to work, but that's as fucking close as they can get.
Right.
You know, and they're not poor people. You know. I mean, where does this end? And what the fuck is up with this ridiculous stock market? This, I don't believe any of that. That's nonsense.
It's not nonsense. It's the product of planning. Everything got driven into the market. It was a deliberate attempt to prop the market up, and it goes back to Reagan. Instead of having, you know, defined pension plans and all of that stuff,
mm-hmm.
No, drive it into the market. And remember, you know, they want the Social Security, they want George W. Bush. Well, I got me some political capital and I'm going to use it. And we're going to put Social Security in the stock market. Okay. Everything went into the market. A vast amount of the wealth of the United States is sitting beside a roulette wheel in the financial district in New York.
I don't think that's a good thing.
No, because at some point in time, that thing's going to stop spinning and they're going to say, you lose, and the money's going to all get raked away. But remember, you know, and this is one of the things, they'll say this in the news, you know, the market lost 3% of its value today, Fred. Bullshit. It didn't get lost. That's like when you have a loved one die and you say, we lost Uncle Fred. You didn't lose him. You know exactly where Uncle Fred is. In the dirt. And when somebody says that X amount of value on the market was lost, it wasn't lost. It went in somebody's pocket.
Yep.
The house never loses. Or do I just have that all wrong?
Yeah, Donald Trump took so much skim until he skimmed the casino out like a dummy. You know, he had something good going. He just, you know. So... That is great that you got there, you got back, but you got sick. But you know, you'll get over it.
To sit on the first row in Carnegie Hall and hear Mozart and Beethoven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll be a long time getting over that. I kind of hope I don't. I mean, my ears just heard things they had never heard before. And we were sitting, I was sitting not 10 feet from the lead bass player.
I heard you say that.
He was sawing away. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing was, though, you could tell where his heart was. Because when we got to the Beethoven, when he wasn't playing, when he was just sitting there following the notes, I don't think he knew he was doing it, but that head was bobbing.
He was into it.
He was in his rock and roll, man. Because
and he had his son with you, man.
And I got to thinking about it later.
Beethoven may have been, you know, maybe rollover Beethoven wasn't such a, what, you know, such a far-fetched idea after all. Because you think about the way white people in Europe danced. Okay?
What, Baroque?
Well, if it ain't Baroque, don't fix it. Never. Wait a minute. That's a very small cowbell for that. But no, well, no, that you know, we're going to touch each other on the pinky and walk in a circle because we have no rhythm kind of dancing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about. And
And,
you know, they're sawing away, and you can't tell if it's waiting for the bus or Jesus just left Chicago. It's just a mess.
It ain't getting down.
Right. Okay, so now contrast that with Beethoven. Try to dance to Beethoven.
You can't.
No.
You just listen to Beethoven.
You sit there and you shake your head like you're fucking listening to the Ramones in 1978.
It's like heavy metal, but the heavy metal, it was the heavy metal of its time. It was like Primus. You know Primus? You ever heard of Primus?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, cutest thing I saw in New York. Mm-hmm. Also down on Orchard Street, one of those little shops that still remain from its glorious heyday of you know, being a little commercial district. You know, shops on the bottom, mm-hmm. tenements on the top. I saw a little baby's I saw a little baby's onesie.
Oh.
It was a Ramones onesie.
What?
And on the back, on the seat, it said, "Hey ho, let's go."
Hey ho, let's go. You know what? I'll be.
You know where the diaper is. Hey ho, let's go.
You know Debbie Harry, man. Do you know that she helped Grandmaster Flash get on his feet and get started in fucking hip hop?
Yeah, that's what that whole whole song is about.
I had a friend that I wasn't really into. I like good music, but then you know you go to people's houses and they're playing something, they're into it, you listen to it, and I was like, damn, that is good. You know, I'm talking about the Ramones because they didn't give a fuck. But Debbie Harry, oh my God, what a beautiful woman! My God, she's beautiful.
I saw a Blondie concert on what is that channel? AXS Access.
Mm-hmm.
A modern or fairly recent concert, and the pipes are still there. She's still, you know, she can still do it.
Yeah, she's something.
Doesn't move so great. Doesn't move so great, but the pipes are still there.
Well, you know. So, what was the other thing? Okay. So, you did the food thing. You went to the deli, a good deli, and you got your hot pastrami sandwich.
Oh, yeah. And that is the one nice thing about cats is while you're waiting, they slice you a little snack and put it on the plate there in front of you, and you just kind of nibble. And had the best bowl of ramen I will probably ever eat unless I get to Tokyo.
Yeah,
yummy.
That sounds delicious. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Mr. Taka's right there on Allen Street. Stunningly delicious. Absolutely delicious.
Now you know, when I lived in New York in the 80s, man, we'd get off the bus at the Port Authority on 42nd Street, and it was so crazy because anything would go on 42nd Street. The theater district is right there, but they used to have these stores. They were the width of, like, they might be 3 feet wide, a store that's 3 feet wide, like big enough for a door, maybe a little bit of glass on either side. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, five.
So I guess, yeah, they, you know, so that goes back to the real estate. It's just so expensive. I don't know. But, you know, I know what I want to ask you. Because I heard you say last night, it's interesting.
I wasn't on last night, but night before I was.
Okay, night before. God, yeah, you're right, because I was asleep. Historical markers. And that's a shame, you see, but that's the part of that Times Square bullshit. You know, it's trying to make it Disneyland-like. But that's why I really hope that you and your better half can get to Philly, because they're really big on historical markers.
Oh, no. See, that's one of those things that has to happen, Todd. Because
an old city, I'm telling you.
Well,
man,
no, here's the thing. It's like synchronicity. Because while we were at the noodle shop, a couple from Philly sat down next to us. And they were, and the guy was asking, you know, you had any good beer? And so I recommended the little place where we had our little mini horn in, and Brandon and Fennell and Chris and Tara and
Tara Devlin's funny.
But anyway, that's where we, and they had really great German beers on tap. And good German food, too. But along the way, they mentioned they're from Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I don't want to leave anybody out. Gary was also there with us. We had a great night. We had a fun conversation. Had a blast. Lots of great stories got told.
So did the Philly people talk about Old City and the group?
So I did what I always do. So, well, you know, and Ferg was sitting there next to me. I said, well, you know, on his mother's side, he's a direct descendant of John Bartram.
No, man, come on.
And
that means that's the white cousin.
Huh?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and they lit up like a Christmas tree, and they said, oh, we love Bartram's Gardens. Have you ever been? No. Oh, you must go. They keep a descendants list. Your wife and son would be treated like royalty.
Oh, shit. See? I'm telling you, and I'm telling you, it's nice down there because that's deep Southwest Philadelphia, and it almost feels like you can feel you're getting closer to the South because South Philadelphia is real flat. It's near, you know, it's right next to the river, the part of Delaware that's salty, you know, so it gets that kind of tidal stuff going on. I thought about that when, you know, anyway, I always think about Bart, you told me about Bartram Gardens, and it really is beautiful. I mean, it's just, that's what folks are doing, you know, that's what folks are doing. They were documenting what they were doing, with plants and things of that nature, you know, but that's crazy. How that is really crazy because, your wife is a descendant, right? So.
Direct, yes.
He's on that list. I know, but so I'm confused. Are you telling me that couple that sat down, they said they were descendants of Bartram too?
No. They were just talking about being from Philly and stuff they love to do in Philly. And I mentioned Bartram's Gardens. Oh, we're members. Right. We love to go there. That's one of the best places in town.
Yeah. Right. Because you know what? People who like that type of thing, what they do, usually you'll hit Bartram Gardens and then you get back on the highway and you'll go south and you'll hit Longwood Gardens. Then you might go through the Mushroom Country in Kent Square, you know, then head to D.C. I don't know. It's a nice trip.
There's still so much more to see. You know, it was Tuesday night when Tracy was calling in at the end of the program saying, okay, we're feeling a little slighted out here, Bob. Are you chopping through shoulders? I heard that whack. Yeah. Man, the
to hear Tracy.
No, but the pork belly in that ramen bowl.
Mm-hmm.
There were only four slices, and it was they were thick hunks of pork belly, maybe inch and a half, 2 inches long each. Beautifully arranged inside in the bowl, you know, at the top, and they had been grilled to perfection. The grills the Japanese places use with the, you know, they're squares, not rods. You know what I mean?
Right.
And just
sear real hot. Right.
Yeah.
Marks on it.
Man, the flavor.
And all the fat dripped off of it. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. And you slipped up every drop, didn't you?
And if you could, you know, if you could open a barbecue joint in Tokyo, you know, a deep South barbecue joint, you could probably get rich. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I got news for you. Clarence just sent me a note. Said, pass this on to Todd. Tell Todd I'm moving from Philly to Sumter, South Carolina. I just got a I just got a trucking job with Coca-Cola in Bishopville, South Carolina. I should be in the area the first week of April. Maybe we'll meet someday. Getting out of North Philly will be a treat and a blessing.
Oh my God! Yeah, we got to talk. Yeah, that's nowhere for me. That's right down the road. Yeah, that's the neighborhood. That's good. That's wonderful.
And God you said, know, "Let there be barbecue," and there was barbecue, and it was good.
Hey man, you touch a lot of people. I think people are listening to you, man. I'm serious. I think that you know, folks who let's say who have influence. I think they're starting to listen. I would hope so, because this whole apple cart is just all messed up now, and you know. And have you noticed that everyone's talking about the Electoral College now? And gerrymandering is in the court, but have you noticed that?
Yeah. I don't, you know, I'd like to think that there are people out there secretly listening and snickering, you know, snickering as we try to keep this little operation on the air, when they could just write a check and make it easy or something like that. You know, maybe they think I really would run out and buy a Gulfstream 5. Who knows? But, you know, yeah, that would be cool. But yeah, moreover, I like to think that maybe it's just a matter of being, like I've said all along, Todd, we're so far ahead of the curve here that it's like being on straight road. We get around curves that the rest of the country's in, and we're way on out in front. We're in a Porsche and they're in a 71, a 71 Impala.
You got that right, man. Listen, I guess we'll talk soon. Maybe somebody else wants to chime in.
Well, you can't leave here without telling me what's on the grill. I don't know who the hell you think you are, but
you can't hear me out here.
Yeah, I can hear you.
I just threw some meat on here, man.
Yeah, I heard a big clunk, and it's like, what are you? You got a cleaver out there and a butcher block or what?
Man, well, I do have a butcher block, and I have an anvil, but I do not. You know, I need a set of cleavers, honest to God. I really do, but no, I'm just, you know what, I got, you know, I like chickens. I got some chicken, but I also have some Australian lamb that was our manager's special.
Ooh.
And man, look, I got the right seasoning for lamb. I do not work for these people. All I can say is that this particular seasoning is perfect for lamb. It's called Cavender's all-purpose Greek seasoning.
Yes, I loved it. I've got a recipe, and it came from that little place that is no more down in Selma, Alabama, a little Greek place.
Mm-hmm.
But you start off by it's all from scratch. So you got to toast your own sesame seeds, and you toast your own sesame seeds. You put them in the mortar and pestle, and you grind and just mash the hell out of those, and then in goes the dried onion, grind the hell out of that.
Yeah, hell yeah.
In goes the oregano. You got to crush as you go, crush as you go, crush as you go. Then in goes the lemon pepper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then some fresh ground black pepper. And I've been thinking. I've been thinking about making another batch of this, and adding in because I'm just in love with it. Adding in, because it worked so well with the brisket, adding in some ground Szechuan peppercorns.
You know what? That sounds like a damn good idea to me. I don't see how you can go wrong with that. And I've been hearing you talk about these things, and I'm going to get my hands on some. But yes, I say yes. I vote yes.
Yeah, you could probably order them in, or I don't know, probably bound to be an international market in Charleston.
You know, the guy, next time I go, I just haven't been to that. I mean, it's a real drive for me, but I know a good Asian supermarket now, but it's like 40 miles one trip. But when I go,
Wait a minute, what do you mean that's a real drive for you? I drive 80 miles round trip to go to Beckley.
Damn. How are your brakes? Because you're in a mountainous area.
Oh, I'm on my third set of brakes.
That shit's... Man, yo, it's no. You can smell when your brakes get hot. I remember when I was in Oregon, man. I was like, oh shit, these brakes are getting hot. It's a rental car. I don't know about this shit. That smell is disgusting. You know the smell I'm talking about.
Oh yes.
I'm sorry.
I got a feeling I'm getting close again. So probably have to do that. And The tires are still in good shape. It's just that they won't keep air. They did a crummy job of mounting them. You know, when you've got aluminum wheels, you got to kind of rough up the interior when you're mounting the tire on. I don't think they did that because, like, it gets cold and then, yeah, and the air pressure light comes on.
I'm glad you brought that up because I've been having trouble ever since I got this new set of tires, and I went to Goodyear. These are very good tires, but
yeah, I got Coopers. The tires are not the problem. If you've got
they're not seated properly, and they don't. You have to just like you do right. You got to scuff it so it glue adheres to the makes a perfect seal.
Yeah.
Right. That's what you mean. You got to right, like you scour. You have to scour it and take the oxidation off and make it a little. You know. People just don't. I don't know, man. People's work ethic. Whatever I'm doing, man. Come on. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Do a good job. You know, don't fuck around. That doesn't matter if you're picking up trash. Just do a good job. I mean, I don't know, man. Things are different, you know. I just don't get it.
By the way, I got to give points to my New York City hairdresser. She actually emailed me yesterday to see if I still liked my haircut.
Yeah,
they don't email you from Walmart. You know, she's back there behind me and she's playing with it and stuff. She's like, you know, it doesn't look that's interesting there. You could probably use a little. Do y'all have clay down there in Virginia? You could use a little sculpting clay. Do they have clay down there in Virginia? And I was like, well, we got lots of clay. I can just go out in the backyard. It's either that or the Monongalia silt loam, but we got you don't have to dig down too far before you're into the yaller clay.
Oh, stop. Look, clay is good for you, but you got the Rosie O'Grady cut, so describe that.
Is that what it is now? It's the Rosie O'Grady cut?
But that's what you said. You know, that's that Buck, honest to God, man.
Not
an issue. That's when Buck Bunny...
I got this bald patch about the circumference of, you know, the diameter of an orange on the back of my head. It's not really terrifying, you know, or too humiliating because I'm generally tall enough that most people don't see it, unless I'm sitting down, and then I just learn to live with it. You know, I'm a 55-year-old white guy with male pattern baldness. It is what it is. It comes with the turf. But
look,
she
shave that shit off.
But
I waited too long. Man, one of my friend girls told me, Todd, shave your head. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it yet. And my shit was all fucked up. You know,
no, I'm sorry. Agnes Viking Warrior Pharaoh Princess will not let me shave my head.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Well, that's that.
Yeah, over. Game over. End of discussion.
That's what I'm saying. That's
but no,
boss.
She got these clippers. And so I get back and Agnes is looking at it and she's like, oh, she did do a good job. She like razor cut it in the back, and that was a conversation I had with the hairdresser. I'm like, is this a genetic thing? Do y'all just know how to screw with hair, like, you know, from birth? And she's like, well, we care, you know, women care about these things.
You in the back and got all the.
Oh no!
Hair.
I told her I taper in the back. I've been tapered in the back since I was born. But like, you know, there are these little weird, you know, little uneven, you know, sort of raggedy ass and then she went to work on the side and she took this. I said, I gotta have it off my ears. I gotta have it clean over my ears. And so she took it further down the side, and there's these longer bits that kind of go all over the place if the wind blows. No, it's. It's quite possibly the coolest haircut I've ever had.
Oh, shit. So, you know what? This is what Bob is saying. Bob is saying, you know what? I'm going to have to make an excuse. I want to go back to this place to get another haircut because this is, like, the best haircut I've had. This is what you're saying. It's the best haircut you've had
without a doubt. And you know what? We're sitting there talking because, you know, I'm a hillbilly. We talk. And it's like, so, you know, why do you do what you do? And she's like, well, I was cutting hair out in Queens, but then I decided that, and when I told Agnes this story, she's like, oh, I like her. And she said, I was cutting hair out in Queens, and I was just doing the same thing every day. And I said, I'm going to go into the city because I want to I want to practice my art at the height of the art form, and I want to be the best that I can be. And so, you know,
she wanted to get out, bust out of Queens. She wanted to bust up out of Queens.
She busted up out of Queens, went into the Lower East Side. She's cutting hair, and she and you know, they're making deals. They're bringing the models in, you know, doing model haircuts, and she's like, you know, looking for the next big thing. And you know, I'm walking out of there, and I'm thinking, you know, there's truth in that song lyric. If you can make it there, you'll make it anywhere.
My God, oh. But you know what? I've noticed when I used to go to get hair, because my head has been shaved for so many years now. I haven't been to the barber, but I used to go to female barbers sometimes because they would cut the hair better. But they always seem to be really, really cool people.
Oh yeah,
I don't know what it is.
Oh yeah, she had this unfinished tat of a snake emerging from her arm on her left arm, and it was just really freaking cool. And you know, there's some pain involved with that too. But, yeah.
Well, I don't know. So what type of German beer did you have on tap?
The minute that I saw that they had Goffel Kolsch on tap, that's immediately where I went.
Damn, that's hard to get. A Goffel Kolsch?
Goffel, yes. They also had flights of a different brand that came in the little 200 milliliter glasses, but it was like $36 for the whole flight, and there was no way I was going to drink $36 worth of beer. It was like 2,400 liters.
Cow.
You know, it was 12 of those 200 little glasses, and no.
Man, you guys got to go to Philly. I'm serious. I mean, and the thing is about Philadelphia, like you get like top cuisine for, you're not paying San Francisco or New York type money. I mean, it's not going to be dirt cheap, but you know, you get the best of wine, the best of food, and some really good company. And that history down there in Old City. So I don't know, man. We gotta get a fundraiser going, man. You can feel it. I mean, like just like when you go to Gettysburg, right? You could feel it. You can feel the spirit there.
Oh no, I've done Gettysburg, so.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
That shit ain't no joke. I mean, people say things, but this, no. Mm-mm, you can feel it. It's like, ugh, God, I feel this. You know. Well, anyway,
I'm looking. Okay, here it is. Here it is. The 200 milliliter glasses of Kranz Kölsch was $36. I didn't go for that. But they had the Goffel. And, there it is. There it is. Yeah, the other one I had was Grevensteiner Kellerbier. Unfiltered lager with hints of caramel and honey. Grevensteiner.
I want 3 pints of that. Damn right. Fucking honey bee. Yeah, when you go to Delaware, you got to go to Dogfish Head. Rehoboth.
I mean, the nicest. The nicest thing for me was that they, you know, I'm all over hops. I'm done with hops. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I like some hops, but it's just too easy for hops to be used as a cover for a big mistake. Oh, mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. Bill, we fucked this batch up. No, we didn't. Just throw some hops in it and call it an Uber Martian IPA.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and there's a hipster out there that'll drink it.
No, I absolutely agree with you because check this out, and you know this. There are some hoppy beers like Harpoon. They got the IPA right. It's not.
Yeah, it's not overpowered, but I just can't do a lot of IPA. If I drink two IPAs, I will have a headache tomorrow morning.
Well, they're usually high in alcohol too, but the thing is, you know what? Let me tell you, because all right, fine, we both like beer, and so I experimented one time. And I don't know if you've ever done this. You get a cheap beer, right? A cheap 40-ounce beer, and then you put a really good tea bag in it. Put it in the refrigerator.
Quit it. No.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, man, Because think about it. When you make a beer that's like the 60-minute IPA hop, you use a sachet of hops, and you put it in there for a limited amount of time, you pull it out.
Right. Yeah,
so
sure.
You can take, right? So you can take some okay beer, you know, just crappy. I'm not really an Anheuser-Busch product, but that's just me, because it's just too nasty. I can't do it. But anyway, so any type of 40 you might want to get, you know, and then use a really good tea bag. And so you could use ginger or an herbal tea, any type of tea, even a regular tea.
Oh, I made a dark ginger beer once upon a time, and it was magnificent. You know, no hops, just a really malty, dark malt, and flavored it with ginger root instead of hops. It was exquisite.
That sounds delicious. Exactly. Ginger is, you know, we're meant to, I think ginger is good. Well, I'm not thinking. Ginger is good for us, but I mean, it just works. Ginger works.
But the other big thing, members of our group were quite taken with turmeric coffee. Coffee with turmeric in it. And it's the combination of really good fresh brewed coffee with turmeric in a latte. Yeah, it was perfume.
I can totally see that. You know what? I don't know. Do you have the line of food near where you are?
What do you mean?
Food line.
Oh,
food
yeah.
Line.
Yeah, they're over, there's one over in Somersville. It's not
okay.
It's not the best the food reason, line, but
it's not you know, some of them are kind of, you know, it's a shame.
I want something halfway decent, my only hope is Kroger's.
Well, Kroger's, you know, I have no complaints. You know how we are with Kroger's. We don't have any complaints with Kroger. Come on. I want to live upstairs, honest to God. But, yeah, the reason I brought it up is that they have, just like Kroger has that private, and I always get it wrong, private...
private selection.
Right. So, you know, that's a pretty good... That store brand for them is really good. They have something called Inspirations at Kroger, but the coffee... And I don't drink coffee every day, but when I drink coffee, I want it to be really good, you know, really strong, really good. And I'm looking in the cabinet right now. I'm looking at it. Man, they got this Colombiana. It's called Colombia. Single origin ground coffee. It's organic, complex, like it's a roast with Arabica beans. And they had another, but this stuff is not, it's dirt cheap. It's like cheap. You know, Starbucks is nasty compared to this.
Starbucks sucks.
The fuck is that shit? How do they get, you know, advertising work?
It's just burnt. Everything's burnt. That's all.
It's burnt. It tastes like burnt fucking coffee. I don't give a fuck what you say. Not you, but, you know, these people, and they're like, oh, that, like, that's some nasty fucking coffee. I'm not paying fucking $5 for this shit. Fuck you. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Dunkin' Donuts has better coffee than that. That gets me upset.
And I'm all decaffeinated and everything, so my two go-tos are the Kroger Private Selection Swiss Water Processed Decaf, Colombian Decaf, and Pete's Dark Roast Decaf.
Who?
Pete's, P-E-E-T-S.
Pete's?
Yeah, that's a big brand.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to check that out. I have not seen that. Okay, very good. I have not.
But anything vaguely resembling decent decaf is mighty hard to find.
Yeah,
and so when you find a couple, you hang on to them.
I don't know. I was in Trader Joe's yesterday, but I wasn't looking for coffee. I don't know if they have decaf, but I've said it before, but I have to say it again. This organic ginger turmeric herbal tea from Trader Joe's. Is like almost the perfect tea.
I could. Again with the turmeric, right?
Right. The studies keep showing. This is one of the herbal things. You know, some of these herbal things work. Garlic, turmeric. You know, certain things do work. But right now, but anyway, so turmeric is good for your memory. It's good for your joints. It's good for your circulation. It's good for a lot of things. But not only that, it's just. I mean, come on, man. This stuff is amazing. This tea, I'm telling you, this damn tea is amazing. And I'm looking at my box right now, and I had too much on my mind, and I forgot to get another one. But I'll go back tomorrow. I'm willing to drive Well, they have the great beer, too, because I have a Hellerbach right now. Oh, man. Mm. Hell yeah.
Oh, that sounds
compared
nice.
To Hellerbach? Oh, man. Look, I'm going to open up a speakeasy with this.
Yeah, meanwhile, this I just had a note from Cheryl saying, Starbucks, the only hot chocolate coffee that was so bad it went out the window. Yes, that really happened.
Yo, if you can't do mocha... Wait, did she say just hot chocolate or mocha? I mean,
hot
really?
Chocolate. She said the only hot chocolate coffee, I take that to mean both, that just went out the window.
See, it's not just us. I'm like, because you want to...
Yeah, and when,
okay,
and when a coffee drinker says, you know, most of your hardcores are like, oh, it's battery acid, but I'll drink it. How bad does it have to be? Nope, out the window.
And it, you know what? And it brings me, I'll be honest with you, that brings me to Folgers. How is it? Folgers is always okay. Folgers is not ever bad, you know?
Well, it's just, it's the McDonald's of coffee. You know, it's mm-hmm. just
and which makes me not want to buy it, which is why I don't. You know what I mean?
Well, no, when I'm absolutely in a bind, the Folgers 100% Colombian decaf is capable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No. Following up, Cheryl said, "I had hot chocolate. Arnold had coffee. Both were hurt beyond recognition of flavor. Out the window."
How do they stay in business? I don't get it. Wait a minute. I now understand. Remember Portland? That's where a lot of those people were on heroin way back in the day, right in the '90s before this shit got crazy. Maybe they didn't know any different.
And by the way, Cheryl says 8 o'clock is better than Folgers.
Well, yeah. But
the thing is, that 8 o'clock brand has...
If you
that,
can get it.
Do you, 8 o'clock was once upon a time the store brand of A&P, which, of course...
Atlantic and Pacific.
The Great Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company.
See, Bob.
I mean, they were around when shit was coming over on clipper ships, okay?
They were around with fucking tea parties. No, they were the cousins of the East India Tea Company. You know, they merged.
Okay,
into Atlantic
great,
and Pacific.
Great. I've told this before, but great family joke. We were on our way to West Virginia. It was just my mom, my dad, and me, and we were in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. Yes, there's a South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. There's also a Pittsburgh Landing, Tennessee, but. That's for another, also known as Shiloh. That's where the Battle of Shiloh was, Pittsburgh Landing. But we were in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. We stopped. My mother wanted to go in the grocery store, and you know, maybe she was getting stuff for sandwiches, whatever, for going up the road because you know hillbillies. We don't stop. You know, we don't stop at rest area or at the fast food joints. We take our food on the road with us.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. And so my mother and they loved each other dearly, but they also laughed a lot. And every now and then, my father would push the envelope of the bounds of propriety. And my mother looked at my father and innocently said, "Kenneth, I'm going to the A&P." To which my father immediately, you know. No, I mean there was you couldn't have slid a card in between the two words. Okay, my mother says, "Kenneth, I'm going to the A&P," and he says, "Okay, I'm going to the Kroger and take a shit."
What?
You could have knocked my mother over with a feather, and then she started laughing, and she laughed all the way into the grocery store. Groucho Marx could not have done it better.
Well, you know what? You know, I never thought I would be living in a food desert. You know, I took it for granted. But it's a big deal when you like food and like to cook, you know. And I'm just not happy, man. Like, even when I take somebody out or whatever, well, I take my better half. She knows where to go. She's no joke. But, I, you know, family member, whatever. I just... I get disappointed. You know, when you taste something, you know, you spend, you know, X amount of dollars, it's like, I could do this better. You know what I mean? It's more about, I guess, the company and the atmosphere. Cause... But you know what? Restaurants are like doctor's offices. The good doctors, you cannot get in because they're really good. And they don't have any, you know, he's not taking no more patients. A good restaurant, you know, you got to make a reservation a couple months in advance sometimes because it's a good restaurant. And, you know, that's just the way it is, I guess. But I know one thing. When we have the horn in with the barbecue, people are going to be lining up. They'll be like, where have you people been? I'm like, we've been hitting barbecue. Where have you been?
Well, we've got a couple of months to play with the concept. We could probably do it in New Orleans this year.
That's what you brought up. That's what you brought up. Hey, you know, and you brought the acorn hunt. Hey, you know. Now, I'm not adept at. I cannot cook a piece of meat that large yet. I'm not ready for that. Because I kind of almost.
What do you mean? How large?
Not ready. You know the. A brisket that's the size of, let's say, a baby.
Yeah, you can do that. You're ready.
Hard, man. That's a big piece of meat.
You're ready. It's at this point, I mean, with the expertise you have at this point in time, most of it's just mechanics of dealing with something that big. But no,
like a good coach.
You're ready, man. You're ready. Yeah, don't, look, Todd, don't aim your pitches. Just pitch, okay? Right.
Okay.
I'm being a good coach. Don't aim your pitches. Just pitch. Don't worry about hitting the batter. Just pitch. but no, I got to thinking. You know, wouldn't it be fun to have we could do a horn in New Orleans, and I could go and buy a brand new acorn, season it, burn it in, and everything, do the food. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, we could donate the acorn to like a food kitchen.
Bob, you're a motherfucking Borg, man. This is why I say this. I was thinking the same fucking thing because you mentioned this maybe weeks ago. I don't know. We talked weeks ago about this, and we talked about, you know, you said getting the acorn. I was thinking, and you were like, well, somebody can go home with it. I'm like, I was thinking, well. Maybe we could raffle it or donate it, maybe to a shelter.
Yeah, give it to a food kitchen.
You know, because a lot of those people who cook for shelters, they're restaurateurs. You know what I mean? They're professionals. Mm-hmm. They're trying to give back to the community, and they know what to do with it. You know,
let it cool down, wow. Disassemble it a little bit, clean it up, take it over, drop it off.
Okay, so the folks who've never used an acorn, they don't understand. This is not. This is no play toy. This is the real implement. This is a cooking implement.
Oh yeah, and by the way, I noticed just today that the place in Beckley that sold big green eggs, out of business, gone.
I don't blame them. That's right. Right. The acorn is a better. I'm telling you, when we went to get that ring, was like what? I forget how much money it was. It was ridiculous. You know, the ring to just so we could cook out.
Yeah.
You know, and it was only a few years old. And putting the damn thing on, I mean, the spring, you know, I almost got impaled trying to do this shit.
Well, look, when I wear out this acorn, I'm not going to feel all beat up about it. And, you know, I may not wear it out.
You're not, because you know what you're doing. And you know, and Agnes, you know.
But I tell you what, it's one of the things that's made me most frustrated about whatever this bug is. It's crazy warm here. It's barbecuing warm here. I mean, I'm looking outside and I'm looking at the acorn and I'm thinking, she's probably feeling lonely.
You're going to the pig tomorrow morning, aren't you?
Underappreciated because. I mean, this kind of warm weather, and that thing doesn't have smoke pouring out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yo, I had the neighbors. I heard the neighbors. You know, I taunt them, man. Because my stuff is deep in the backyard, right? Way behind the fence and everything. But, you know, smoke travels. And I heard them talking. They went, yeah, you know, I'm like, yup, mm-hmm. And I was just looking at them. I walked to the front. I keep the dog in the front, you know, because I want to keep my door open so she can guard support. Because, you know, my better half is watching the kids. But, They don't understand, and they tried to cook out the other night. They put fluid, they put lighter fluid on charcoal, lit it immediately, then put meat on, and the foulest smell emitted from this concoction. Let me tell you.
Oh, perfume. But see, I'm not feeling great. I'm hoping if I take care of myself, maybe I can be okay by Sunday.
Right.
Because Sunday's like high of 65, low of 44. There's some rain in the forecast. There's some rain in the forecast on Saturday, too. I mean, it's done nothing but rain for the last 3 weeks.
You know what?
But if I play my cards right, I could at least do like a shoulder. Or a shoulder and a couple of chickens. You know, something hickory smoked.
Mm-hmm. Man. Well, you know what? That's what got me out today. I was like, you know what? This was the first day I really had free in a while, and kind of slept in, and it was warm out. And I said, wow. I said, let me pull the covers off of the grill area. And I looked at it, and I looked up at the sun, and I said, okay, it's cloudy, but it's warm. And, you know, because when you cook with wood, you know, it takes, what, you got to wait to, you know, by the time you start the fire, that's a couple of hours before anything's ready. You can't put the meat on for 2 hours, 3 hours. You know what I mean? Get it right.
Oh, man, if you're using a chimney, yeah. It's a lot faster than that.
Yeah, but my little, what I'm working with now, I've lost a Lexus. I've lost a nice grill. These trees, but you know what? The nature give and nature takes it away. You know, so I'm telling you, and this little piece of grill I got is half. The other half of the grill got smashed by the tree, so I've got like half a grill right now. You know, but I'm working with it, man. I'll make it work. I'm gonna make it work. And my camellias are out, and my pepper plants. You know, those little tiny peppers that you can buy. Because they're good. Yeah. So I already, you know, the good pepper. I grow peppers every year. Always have. And so I dig them up out of the ground, the good one, you know, the strongest plants, bring them inside. I got a greenhouse room in here. And so they're already producing. So I'm ready to put that outside.
You're ready to go, man. You absolutely are. And
I'm making the best of this.
We've got some we got some breaking news to cover. So I guess I'll run along, but. Well, semi-breaking news. It's been going on, but you've got a note coming in from Elbert in Rhode Island. The brisket Todd's describing is Texas brisket. I cannot find a brisket that big up here. I was born and raised in Houston, so I know a lot about briskets. An 18-pound brisket takes about 8 hours to smoke properly, preferably with mesquite for your smoking wood. I'm not a big mesquite fan. I just don't think there's that much flavor there. I'm a hardwood, you know, I'm a hickory guy, but I get the point. See, I can get those giant briskets, you know, untrimmed, humongous amounts of fat, but the fat is what makes the otherwise not very tender.
You got to leave that on because that's what
the 10 below zero New Year's Day brisket was.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they get and they get them for me at the Wiggling Pig.
I'm getting friendly with the butchers over you know, where I go. But you know, and they like that. They like when people pay attention, I think. You know.
I care about their work. And it's
And they'll be like, hey, I got something, you know, I'm glad you asked me. But I was about
they'll
to
come
turn
show
like,
yeah. And that's fun, and that's a throwback to a better America. Hey, Todd, you have yourself a good evening, my friend. It's always a joy talking with you.
You too, Bob. Take care, man.
All right, later. Bye now.
All right.
Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. Listen, there is some breaking news to deal with, and I'm gonna head right to that. Wait, what's this? Asa, the fact that you found that homoerotic, I think, is that ain't on me and Todd, man. That's on you. Dude, that's a wee bit homoerotic talking to Todd about pitching without aim and his big piece of meat. You, sir, have a filthy mind. And that's why and then that's why you're such a good friend of the program. I think Ace is just pissed at me because I threw some shade at his IPA. That nice little dig at my beloved IPA, Kincaid. You just don't like the hops because somebody took a Louisville Slugger to your taste buds when you was born. Oh, that would be me. And yeah, I tried. But, no, I'm convinced that with a lot of craft brews, there's just a hops covers a wide variety of sins. But in all seriousness, it's kind of a... No, that's not kind of a... It's a beautiful... it's a beautiful evening in Missouri. I had notes both from Carol Baker and from our buddy Kenda out Missouri way. And the news from Missouri is, on the one hand, absolutely, utterly predictable. And on the other hand, positively chock-a-block with schadenfreude. Imagine, if you will, a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gundamentalist, amosexual, Republican Christian. Imagine that he has publicity photos taken of himself holding a semi-automatic war weapon. Imagine that he uses that sort of thing alongside his Christian family values to get himself elected governor of the state of Missouri. Imagine that he is so filled with his own hubris that he thinks that running as a former Navy SEAL would get him past his competition. Well, imagine that in January of this year, knowing that a report was about to come out, because it had been an open secret for a while in political circles in Missouri, your good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, Christian, fundamentalist, amosexual, Eric Greitens, discloses and confesses to having had an extramarital affair. Hoping that he can play the Jimmy Swaggart card. I have sinned against you. Right? Well, he had sexy time with his hairstylist in 2015, right before he started running for the governor's office in Missouri. And in point of fact, at one point, the woman's husband, he is, they are since divorced, made a recording of his wife talking about it. She describes a situation in which Greitens invites her to his place. She then says that she, being a consenting adult, consented to being blindfolded, naked, with her hands taped to exercise rings over her head. On the recording, she says that while she was blindfolded, he took pictures of her without her consent and then threatened to share the photos if she ever revealed their affair to anyone. Mm-hmm. Now, being as how the Attorney General of Missouri bailed out on the case, he said he didn't have jurisdiction to look into the matter. So then the local prosecutor in St. Louis opened an investigation into the allegations of blackmail. Well, today, some chickens came home to roost. Today, Eric, 50 Shades of Greitens, stands indicted for felony invasion of privacy. Because of the blackmail. Remember, family values, y'all. St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner launched the investigation. Quote, as I have stated before, it is essential for residents of the city of St. Louis and our state to have confidence in their leaders. They must know that the office of the circuit attorney will hold public officials accountable in the same manner as any other resident of our city. Both parties and the people of St. Louis deserve a thorough investigation of these allegations. Greitens has apparently pissed off somebody, and probably a political rival inside the Republican Party. The FBI has also apparently opened a case. There has already been a call for Greitens to resign. One wonders if he will brazen this out. Compare this, say, to Al Franken, in which there was no definitive proof of any conduct. None. Zero. Here, there's a recording. And there's an admission of an illicit sexual relationship. Oops. And he had those God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian, Republican, white male good looks. Oh, he's so terribly butch in that photograph of him with his semi-automatic machine gun, semi-automatic assault rifle. I'm sorry that the little gun goobers get all butt hurt when you don't call something by its proper name. That's not a banana clip. He's just happy. No. That's a magazine, God damn it. Yeah. But it remains to be seen whether he will do the right thing and resign. The question then becomes, and maybe Kenda or Hoghead in the chat room or Carol can tell me, Who's the lieutenant governor who gets the job if he steps down? And by the way, when I was on the air Tuesday night, I mentioned the story of the GOP staffer who accused children from Parkland or from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School of being crisis actors. Apparently, the congressperson in question was not willing to take the heat and therefore did can, fire, sack the aforementioned staffer. Oh, by the way, with regard to Eric Greitens, 50 Shades of Greitens, he sent her a copy of the photo, so there's tangible physical evidence of what he did. I can almost tell you what the defense will be. Well, that was part of our sexy game. She wanted me to threaten her. It was all part of our consensual sexual act. Thank you. Research Department, Steve from Georgistan. Joshua David Hawley is an American attorney and politician serving as the 42nd and current Attorney General of Missouri since January. So y'all don't have, I guess Missouri doesn't have a lieutenant governor? Further details will follow. And by the way, thanks to send out. Big thanks. Thanks very kindly to Samson. Thank you very kindly. Chris's challenge is now met. And thanks to Clarence, we're on our way to knocking down the rest of it. So there is $70 remaining to finish fundraising for the month of February. If we can do that in the next 28 minutes, boom, done. So that's where that stands. Thank you very kindly to Samson, and thanks very kindly to Clarence as well. And thanks to Louis for getting us started. That's a big, big, big help. Oh, there's the clarification coming from the research department. Mike Parson is Lieutenant Governor of Missouri. Interesting. One wonders in Missouri if there were any chance of One wonders if there were any chance, C-H-A-N-T-S, of lock him up. Because there were chants of lock her up today at CPAC. Oh, yes, of course there were. Of course there were. Because they have these good little God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, homosexual, fundamentalists—they're all the way to the down to the ground with their Hillary hating still. You get the idea that they'd really like to just, if they could. Yeah, Dana Lush was, I had to have armed guards; they would have torn me to pieces. Yeah. Pardon me while I don't get all broken up. bunch of people pissed off about gun violence, and Dana Lush is worried. You were probably facing a bunch of liberals, Dana. We're not all gunned up like your buddies are. And we don't do that, lock them up. No. But by God, they do at CPAC. Creepy little dude Ben Shapiro showed up to yak at CPAC today. Get the hockey puck back out. This is pretty vile.
Most of all, President Trump brought us one really fantastic thing. Hillary Clinton is not and will never be President of the United States. Bother. She's already in a jail of her own making somewhere in the woods of upstate New York.
Stay classy, GOP. Stay classy. Yeah. Meanwhile, I guess you saw that the carotene Caligula had a little meeting at the White House of his own yesterday. How far gone is the mind of the Nectarine Nero? He had to have a crib sheet with the words, "I hear you," written on it in order for him to try to appear to be even remotely sympathetic to people who watched their classmates be slaughtered with by a guy with an AR-15. Yeah, by the way, Carol Baker has been searching the interweb tubes. She now has the mugshot of Eric Greitens. Carol noting, maybe he can tell Trump what it feels like to be indicted. Oh, no, let's not smarten up a chump, Carol. Let's let him find out for himself. Because it's coming. It's coming. You know, the whole reason for constitutional questions is questions exist to be answered. Let's find out if a nation of laws and not of persons is for real. Let's find out who's right, Richard Nixon or everybody else. Can a sitting president be indicted? New indictments against Paul Manafort and Rick Gates today. Get a little hot in there. No puppet, no puppet. But seriously, yesterday, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini actually had to have the words, "I hear you," written on a crib sheet, talking to people who watched their classmates be slaughtered and their children be slaughtered and their friends be slaughtered.
I hear you.
There's not enough brain power there after what the Spirochetes have hollowed out for him to be able to remember the words, "I hear you." And so this, and so yesterday, in that meeting, instead of saying, you know, let's find real solutions to this problem, he said,
"We need more teachers with guns in school,"
which was then reported all around the world, and which then, while he was twooping this morning, pissed him off to no end. So away to the Twitters he went. And this really is, this is a measure like I hear you. This is a measure of how far gone he is. I never said give teachers guns, like was stated on fake news CNN and NBC. Okay, have we got that? I never said give teachers guns. What I said was to look at the possibility of giving concealed guns to gun-adept teachers with military or special training experience. Only the best. So in the same tweet, he says, I never said give teachers guns. I said give teachers guns. Only the best. 20% of teachers, a lot, would now be able to, it's only the best 20% of teachers, a lot, would now be able to immediately fire back if a savage sicko came to a school with bad intentions. Savage! Highly trained teachers would also serve as a deterrent to the cowards that do this. Believe me, far more assets at much less cost than guards. A gun-free school is a magnet for bad people. Attacks would end all caps. He said, I didn't say give teachers guns, and then says give teachers guns. Can I just point out that what he's envisioning there is turning every school in the United States of America into a combination of the OK Corral and Matewan shootouts. He wants shootouts inside schools. So somebody's going to come in with an AR-15, and they're going to be opposed by an underpaid teacher with a pistol. Of course, here's the problem with that line of what passes for thinking in and amongst the spirochetes. Generally speaking, because it's an ambush, and because the nature of ambushes is that the attacker fires first, somebody's going to get shot before the very well-trained, only the 20% best teacher even has a chance of shooting back. And if it's an AR-15, chances are a lot more rounds will be squeezed off before a teacher can shoot back. Let's say you've got a school with, 50 teachers in it. That means 10 teachers would be armed. Only 20%. So you've got a 2 in 10 or a 1 in 5 chance that one of the teachers will have a gun and not be flipped out and not be torn between throwing his or her body between the children and the shooter and leaving the children to the shooter's tender mercies while he or she goes hunting. And that's hunting. That's a term that was used this morning. And it had profound impact for me. The father of one of the massacred children said, "My daughter was hunted at school," because AR-15s are not designed as sporting weapons. AR-15s are not designed as target shooting weapons. They were designed of and for the military and designed to do the maximum amount of damage possible with a relatively small bullet. fired at incredibly high muzzle velocity. So just understand that by way of solution, Geezer Disgustus wants shootouts in classrooms. And what happens if the teacher's not effective? Oh, and by the way, what happens when the police do show up? Because one of the other things he pointed out, it takes the police 5 to 8 minutes to get there. So when the police show up in force with the goal of finding someone in the school with a gun, they're not going to know who the right person with the gun is. They're going to have to make snap value judgments on the fly. And you know, God help you, let's say if you're a teacher who's a black guy with a gun, Mr. Physics teacher, you're going first before they get the white kid. Because Merca. Wolverines. I know, it sounds crazy, doesn't it? Robert in Australia writes, an armed teacher shoots back, misses, kills two students by mistake. What a brilliant idea. I know. But see, these are the desperate gymnastics in which the National Rifle Association and its bought and stayed-bought politicians have to engage in order to continue to put firearms ahead of children. I hate the fact that I always have to add this caveat. Nobody's talking about taking away everybody's guns. But for some people, I guess I have to. I know people who rely on their hunting skills to feed their families. I'm not talking about they'd rather have deer than beef. I mean, it's they can have deer that they hunt or no meat.
They need to become vegans, dude.
Well, their tradition doesn't run that in that direction. And you know what? Most of these hunters are so damn good. They've got all of 3 rounds in the magazine. Maybe they've got 3 plus 1 in the chamber. And the second, third, and fourth seldom get fired. They damn sure don't use an AR-15 and melt the barrel, because you want to be kind of careful about how you bring down dinner, because it affects the taste and the quality. And you don't want to tear up the meat, because remember, you're feeding your family. Nobody's talking about taking away people's guns. But there is no excuse on earth. There's no reason on earth, except for the National Rifle Association and its insane, bloodthirsty desire to see more death, more destruction unleashed in this country. A long time ago, there was a cranky old man named Cato the Elder. He had a hang-up about Carthage. And as my Latin professor said way back when I was just a little college redneck riding to school on my dinosaur, he said, he was so single-minded about Carthage that, morning, Cato, and all he'd say, Cartago delenda est. Lovely weather we're having today, Cato. Cartago delenda est. How's the wife and kids, Cato? Cartago delenda est, he'd reply. Mm-hmm. As my professor noted, he got so obsessive about it that people stopped inviting him to parties. Cartago delenda est is roughly translated as Carthage must be destroyed. NRA delenda est. NRA delenda est. Not talking about violence. But if this country is to survive, we must reach a point where we think of the NRA the same way we think of the Klan and the same way we think of Nazis as essentially incivil, intolerable, anti-American institutions. NRA delenda est. Okay. And like I said, we got $70 more in fundraising to go for the evening. And let's run over and close out the program with Scott and Punky. Hey, Scott.
Hello, Bob. How are you doing?
You know, it looks like I got through 3 hours of radio, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and you hit many, many of the high points, and I want to thank you for that. And you playing hurt is never fun in the radio game. Been there, done that.
Yes. If this was a six-hour shift, I'd be a mess by the end of it.
Yeah, been there, done that too. Okay, a quick thing for Todd. He was wondering about Pete's Coffee and Tea. It was apparently started in Berkeley in 1966, so it's a West Coast thing. Although the Wikipedia entry says their products are sold in something like 14,000 stores around the country, so there's that.
Yeah, I get it in Kroger's.
Yeah, I was pretty sure Kroger's had it. But let me see if I can wrap up today's proceedings with an observation or two that I came up with earlier. And this, I don't know, it was this morning after I watched that Clancy the Lion NRA web ad this morning on Morning Joe, followed up by sage comments by crazy, what's her name, Dana Deloche. And it just came to me seemingly out of nowhere in the wake of that. And here goes. We may well be approaching the end stages of the real-life embodiment of a favorite right-wing talking point from the 1960s. If America fails, it will be from within, owing to the moral, societal, and political rot. Now, who knew that all of that would be headed up today by a GOP president owned and operated by a Russian head of state? Okay, so there's that. And then there's the gun thing. A couple of years ago, the big noise being made was all about the 99% being gang-raped financially by the obscenely well-off 1%. Now, today that dynamic still stands, okay, but over it is superimposed another, even more deadly stat. Now, sit down for this, boys and girls. The current U.S. population is approaching 326 million. Meanwhile, the NRA's total membership is a mere 5. Count them, 5 million. A tiny fraction of our population wields incredible power over our national and state legislative bodies, protecting the financial interests of the gun industry and its lobbyists as the real body count mounts and our young people continue to die. How in the day glow lime green fluorescent fuck is this possible? It is beyond insane. And that's my little rant, and that seems to wrap it up nicely with a bow on top.
Well, I absolutely will not challenge you on any of it.
326 million people's lives and futures and well-being are being dictated and affected on a momently basis by 5 million gun nuts. What the hell?
How is that not a hostage situation?
Well, it sounds like it could be. The numbers work out.
And you know, meanwhile, we've got just a couple of minutes left, but meanwhile, you know, I talk about the spirochetes, and I'm halfway not joking, Scott.
No, I know, and I'm agreeing with you on that. And wait a minute, that brings me to this. With the crib notes yesterday,
yeah.
in the listening session, have we gone a step up or a step back from 10 years or 8 years ago when Sarah Palin...
When Sarah Palin was writing on her hand, I was right there with you. That was part of this day in Horn history sometime in the past, recently.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, so his brain is so far gone. I mean, we really are talking about a guy at the front end, if not in the middle, of, you know, some form of neural cerebral degradation. Okay.
Yeah.
So they made this big White House production today by having a talk about preventing school shootings. They held it at the White House. And the Attorney General of Talibandiana, a guy by the name of Curtis Hill, shows up to talk to Trump. And once again, I wish I didn't feel compelled to say this, but I do. It's not a mistake that Colleen Noir and Curtis Hill are both men of color. They're putting black people out in front of this to try to try. Well, they're trying to make it appear that they're not what they are, you know, a white supremacist organization.
Yeah.
You know, the Venn diagram between white supremacists and NRA members is you almost can't tell the difference between the two circles. All right. So they bring the African American Attorney General of Indiana in to talk to Trump, and this transpires. I mean, I don't know if this is hockey puck, but holy shit. Now, this is a guy trying to explain how you protect students, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But this is also a stand-in for anybody trying to explain anything to Donald Trump.
Curtis.
Mr. President, thank you so much for
thank
the
you.
Opportunity to be here. And I want to start out by saying that as we all know, this is the freest nation on earth. And whatever measures we take have got to be consistent with the character of who we are as Americans, first and foremost. I'd like to make three points, things that we're doing in Indiana and things that we can do better in Indiana. And it goes to the discussion that we had here. Securing the physical environment of the school is an absolute must. Goes beyond policies and plans. We have a school in Indiana, in Shelby County, Southwestern High School, which was participating in a pilot project, and wouldn't surprise you to know that was under the leadership of your vice president, then Governor Pence.
Yeah, you hear him. Okay, I'm going to get back to it. I'm sorry to be talking in the clip, but so you hear him making these grunts. Well, body language is everything. And if this man was any more shut down and closed off and disinterested, he'd disappear. His eyes are mostly closed. His head is downward, and his shoulders are shrugged, and his arms are crossed across his body. Anybody who knows anything about body language will tell you that is a person who is not listening and isn't interested in a single goddamn word that's being said. Okay, so
he was doing that yesterday too, if you noticed.
Yeah, but this time these aren't just, you know, people who watch their children friends die. This is a real live expert.
Yeah, so cool.
He's even kind of almost distancing himself, you know, from the black dude.
through this program of innovation and technology in connection with the Indiana Sheriff's Association, the school created a model for security. And in the security, not only we have bulletproof doors, bulletproof glass, we have containment zones. When the students are in the classrooms, the doors are locked. So we don't have to go up and lock them from the outside. And, Mayor, we talked about that earlier. That was a concern you had and how that's done. This is all done automatically. The school is wired directly, securely to the Sheriff's Department 10 miles away. So the Sheriff's Department can monitor in real time what's occurring. Each teacher has a key fob so that when something occurs, they can communicate effectively and immediately with someone off-site.
Will you pardon me for a second, Scott, in saying that this sounds an awful lot like prison technology?
Yeah.
And the most
do you have anybody inside with a gun that can take on the man that's right outside the door that, by the way, can shoot right through the steel doors as they did in your school?
Well,
those bullets went right through those steel doors like they were butter.
That's a part of what's necessary, but I can tell you this. What else they have are countermeasures. Countermeasures that can be employed from the Sheriff's Department.
Okay, so say the secret word and the duck comes down. The word countermeasures. You want to pay attention to this, okay? This is the part where you're going to start screaming. Or you're about to start screaming.
By the way, can shoot right through the steel doors as they did in your school?
Well,
those bullets went right through those steel doors like they were butter.
That's a part of what's necessary, but I can tell you this. What else they have are countermeasures. Countermeasures that can be employed from the Sheriff's Department within seconds to contain the attacker and, in a sense, turn the attack on. That's a critical piece. I would invite you to come to Shelby County.
I just don't know what that means, honestly. I don't know what that means.
Well, I can tell you what it means. When you're in the hallway, if you have an active shooter in the hall and he's going around and he's looking for targets, we've got the doors blocked, we've got it locked up, somebody's monitoring, and, for example, they have smoke canisters that can come in and blind the shooter, which detracts him from the his target. That gives time, as you know, that critical time when he's alone looking for targets. Now he's discombobulated. He doesn't know where he's
going.
Well, that's the idea. I mean, these are not
targets. In the meantime, he's shooting everybody, though.
Well, in this particular school, they're locked down.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
Is that terrifying?
Do you want my quick and dirty translation?
Do, please.
And it's totally not unlike a Florida state talking head who was on with Chuck Todd yesterday with his pilot program in some godforsaken Florida county along these lines. Both of these approaches are reactive. They have nothing to do with prevention. They're reactive. These idiots will go around their elbow and way past their asshole and go into pretzel-like contortions to avoid the common sense solution, keep the goddamn weapons out of the hands of lunatics, criminals, and terrorists in the first place, and you won't have to do this Rube Goldberg contraption in your schools and in your public places to react.
Right, because there are larger questions to be asked here.
Yeah.
Granted, I graduated from high school in 1981. Seems like yesterday. It wasn't. We had tornado drills. We did not have tornadoes with AR-15 drills. Okay?
Yeah.
This was a high school. This was a fully integrated high school. Young black kids, young white kids, young everybody kids going to school together. I mean, this is not, you know, some payon to the dim and misty wonderful past that never existed. It's just what that reality was. Nobody's talking about kids coming to school with guns. Something happened, Scott. Something happened to our country sometime between 1981 or a little thereafter and, shall we start with Columbine? Something happened to this country. Something happened to make people more paranoid. Something happened to make people more willing to resort to violence. something happened to make people want more guns. And I'm not saying this is the lead into me saying what the something was. But something happened.
And then, yeah, and the distinction is when you and I were coming along, the most havoc that was ever raised in a classroom was caused by spitballs, pea shooters, and if you got really exotic, paper clips and rubber bands.
Yeah.
Today, it's goddamn military weaponry. So a shift has occurred somewhere, brought about some way by somehow, and I'm not even sure I know when it happened. It probably was so subtle nobody noticed it.
Well, but the other part of this problem, and I understand the difficulty of it, is if by some miracle we could become instantaneously sane, we would still have God knows how many millions of these weapons out there and available for use. And what do you do about them?
Yeah.
And what do you do with the larger issue of handguns? And that is the knotty and sticky part of this. I personally think that arm's length, private, person-to-person sales of weapons need to end. Okay, going to the swap meet to get rid to try to make a couple of hundred bucks on your AR-15 needs to end.
Mm-hmm.
But we also live in a country where there have been laws passed that forbid police departments from destroying weapons. That say that they have to auction them. And the proceeds go to the police department, which makes the police department supportive of the non-destroy measure.
And it's also not helpful that, God, going on 20 years ago, there were federal laws put down that said Congress and various agencies cannot conduct rational, solid studies on the effects and causes of gun violence in this nation.
Right, but that well is so thoroughly poisoned, Scott, that if anybody says, you know, we want to study the causes of gun violence, the National Rifle Association is out there out front saying, you want to take our guns? Even if the outcome of the study is that the cause of gun violence is liberalism, they don't even want to find out the answer. Because there are too many opportunities for the answer to be something they don't like, because they know what the answer is.
It's as if they have set about to make an insoluble situation, and we're stuck with it.
Or it's almost as if they have set out to destroy the civil governance structure of our country.
Well, what was that quote I gave earlier? If America falls, it will be from within, owing to the moral, societal, and political rot. There you go. That's it. And I see we're into overtime, so...
Yeah, but I wanted to get that quote out there, because Asa just said, I got to at least give it to Trump. At least he was honest in saying, I don't know what that means. Yeah, but I'm not the president of the United States, and I know what countermeasures are.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody within the sound of our voice knows what countermeasures are. He's the president of the United States. He's in time of war, the commander in chief of a military that is God almighty. Fighter planes have countermeasures. Submarines have countermeasures. Frigates have countermeasures. Okay.
Well, hell, Air Force One has countermeasures.
Ta-da! So
I really and truly hope to pray.
And he doesn't know what counter. You know why else he didn't? I just don't. Meanwhile, the guy's still shooting. Really? His eyes are burning like they're going to fall out of their sockets. He can't see. He's blinded. And he's still shooting? Really, Don? And the reason he said that he's still shooting, the reason he said that is because he has been programmed, the spirochetes have been programmed to accept as an answer only one thing, more guns.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's their solution to everything, which turns out to only add to the problem.
I remember years and years and years ago, I was in a play called Hold Me by Jules Pfeiffer, and it was a series of sketches based on Jules Pfeiffer's cartoons. Jules Pfeiffer had written it. You remember Jules Pfeiffer, don't you? And one of the little skits was called More Socks. And it went something like, I go to the laundromat. I throw in 14 pairs of socks. I get back 11 pairs of socks, a red sock, and a blue sock. The next week, I go to the laundromat. I take 11 pairs of socks. I get back 9 pairs of socks, an Argyle sock, and a fishnet stocking. And it goes on this way, and it says, finally, I go to the laundromat, I throw in one pair of socks. I get back a body stocking with a note attached. Quit trifling with the laws of nature and bring the machine more socks. That's where this is. Quit trifling with us and bring us more guns. Bring our God more blood.
Yeah.
Our God requires blood sacrifices to be appeased, and taking the guns out of school will mean our God is no longer fed.
And an unfed God is an angry, vindictive God.
Precisely. All right, Scott, thank you very kindly.
Well, I was hoping we could end on a happy note, but I see that's an impossibility.
You want to go ahead and use the tagline that belongs only to you? You fell apart there. And try that again.
We're all screwed, Bob.
There we go. Scott, I'm so glad we could end on a happy note. You little ray of sunshine, you.
Thank you, Bob. Take care.
Have a good one. Bye now. Our buddy Scott calling from San Diego. Okay, I overtimed in a big way. Sorry about that. My apologies. Time to get out of here. But I missed last night, so at least I made up 12 minutes of my absence. Okay, Friday on the front porch tomorrow. Cross our fingers. I'm going to go and put the straw back in the cough syrup bottle. Party. And hopefully I'll be here tomorrow evening. If I'm not, I will tweet and Facebook in advance to let y'all know. So that's where we stand. Thanks, everybody, for joining in whatever way you do this evening. I respect and revere and admire and appreciate the fact that you share a portion of your precious finite time on this little blue-green marble hurtling through the universe in being part of this community. I do. Thank you. Thanks to everybody, a considerably smaller number, who helped keep this program going. Thank you to everyone who jumped in this evening to make sure that we met Chris's challenge and to make sure that, we're only $70 away from finishing February. If that can happen between tonight and tomorrow, then Friday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are all fundraising-free broadcasts. And that's awesome. So that's where that stands. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thanks, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks always go out to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.